Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Blue Shirt Banner Radio, our trade headline extravaganza for what it's worth. Today is Wednesday, March 3rd. Great googly moogly, and we got a show for you guys tonight. We're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about what didn't happen today. We're going to talk to Mike Zippo from the Fire Sather Rally, which is coming up on Sunday. We're going to talk to Adam Rader, who's going to check in a little while with us from 100 Ranger Greats. I'm Jim. And as always, I am joined by my partner and good friend, Eddie. Eddie, how are you? Good evening.
I'm doing pretty good, hanging in there. I tell you, what a grueling day of watching a lot of trades go down, a record number of trades going down. Maybe not of substance, but of quality, but definitely a lot of quantity. And as far as the ranges go, we got Mr. Erickson and Mr. Newberry. I think we can hold off the Canyon of Heroes parade for now. I'm surprised, and I'm interested to see what your take and everybody else's take is on really the non-movement of the ranges in this trading trading deadline. So, and Mike Zippo is going to tell us where to be and how to act and the whole bit and the whole thing and on Sunday. And I will be there shooting a lot of film and on a live broadcast. So I look forward to talking to Mike. And did we mention that Adam Rader might stop by?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so Adam Rader will stop by. It's always interesting to hear what Adam has to say, especially he's so passionate as the chat room is filling up. And, it's a circus of the stars in there now. Not at the two
standing
ladies
room only in the chat room.
The three ladies are here: Marcy Braverman, Jackie Lamba, and Mandar. So we have three women all accounted for. So
the chat room gets any fuller, they'll be standing in the beer garden. There'll be no seats left.
That's right.
So you're going to be, let's let everybody know right at the top, you're going to be at the Fire Sather Rally on Sunday afternoon. It starts at 5 o'clock outside the garden. Mike will give us all the latest poop on what's going on there. And we will broadcast live starting at 5 o'clock right here on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Joey Pants Fortunato is going to sit in with me on the phone while we check in with you live. So I'm definitely looking forward to that, and hopefully get a lot of people on the phone and people in the chat. So make sure you come down, check us out Sunday. If you're not going to the rally, this is the only place where you're going to hear everything that's going on. We'll bring it to you live. Marcy Braverman, she is we would call her a co-organizer of the rally. She's in the chat room. She says they got the megaphone today. I'm anxious to see if they're going to let you, Eddie, get a hold of that megaphone for a few minutes.
I don't think they need the megaphone for my voice. Seriously, I am one of the loudest human beings on earth, and it's not that I tout myself as that. It's just that many of a person has told me that, especially a lady I remember in at Shea Stadium once said, "Hey, would you put a sock in it?" to me. And I said, "Sit down, drag." No, I said, "Sit down, dragon lady. It's a baseball game." But
if you were making noise at a Met game, that must have been a long time ago.
Oh yeah, it was. So anyway, all right. Let's talk about it. I mean, there were a lot of moves made today. Jimmy the Gentleman, the Gem. I mean, the Rangers basically stood pat. They acquired these two guys basically to shore up the AHL. There weren't any NHL moves made. And, you know, I guess I'm happy because they didn't trade away any draft picks or prospects. And to me, that was a big concern. And, when it all came down to it, there really wasn't a lot out there. I mean, there were a couple guys I would have liked that I saw that I think we could have made offers for. I mean, do you think – I guess my first one is the Phoenix deal where Vojtěch Volsky got traded for Mueller and some other cat. And I really thought we could have made a play for Volsky if he came that cheap. So what do you think about that? I know you're out there in Arizona, keeping it real in the field. What did you think about that?
Well, I was at work all day, so I was off the internet. I was just getting texts about what the Rangers weren't doing, and I was able to catch a few quick nuggets as I was able to steal a few minutes on TSN and saw what was going on. Phoenix, they were busy today. They were one of, looks like, scanning the trades, it looked like they were one of the busier teams out there. They made a few good moves. They got rid of your boy, Peter Mueller, who you were championing. Did I say, I don't think I said that right. You wanted the Rangers to get earlier in the season, and he's gone off to Colorado. So, as far as my take on what the Rangers did, like you, I'm glad they didn't get rid of any prospects or any draft picks. In that respect, I'm glad. But I don't understand. You're not a buyer or a seller. You're a tinkerer. I mean, were they looking for somebody just to replace Tyler Arneson in Hartford? Was that the goal of this trade deadline? Was to get somebody to replace. The vaunted Tyler Arneson down in Hartford. We had to get a replacement for him. I don't know. If you don't do anything, if you stand pat, I'm a believer in if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And, if you stand pat, to me, that's the company line. It ain't broke, don't fix it. They did nothing. They were not buyers. They were not sellers. I don't know. What does that mean? Does that mean that somebody in this organization thinks that this team is good enough to contend, or does that just mean that they're just kind of throwing their hands up on the season and taking the whatever happens approach? We get to the end of the season and then we do what we can. I don't know. Me personally, I do believe they wanted Sheldon Surrey, and when the word came down this morning that he had the infection that was going to cost him the rest of the season, I think that screwed up.
The same one that Saeed has from Lost?
I don't know. I don't know if that's a good one. I don't know if Surrey slit anybody's throats on the way out, but oh my God, don't get me. What a show last night. Anyway, I think when they made the moves yesterday with Boros and Leeson, and we all kind of thought that was to free up some cap space for pending moves. And maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, I don't know. And I'm just thinking that when it came out that Soure wasn't going to be available for the rest of the season, I think it kind of had a domino effect with their plans, and they got stuck with doing nothing.
I think there probably were trades. We had the Girardi, everybody. We had Girardi gone. I think just some things fall through. I think they probably tried to make some moves, but they weren't the only team that a lot of fans are very unhappy that teams really didn't make major moves. I know the Canadian fans are not happy that they didn't make any moves. Vancouver and some other teams. And there probably were a lot of trades in the books, but just didn't get done. And it was funny because Brian Burke, you know, he said if you got to make a lot of deals in March, that means your team didn't do a good job over the last summer and isn't doing a good job adjusting. And I'll tell you,
I have a counterpoint to that comment.
All right, go ahead.
1994, how many moves did the Rangers make at the trade deadline? That worked out all right.
That's true. I mean, that's
right?
True. I mean,
what they made,
right?
Five
no.
trades? Five new players, I think, they brought in on trade deadline day or right around it. Worked out all right.
But, I'm going to defend the Irish, but the Rangers were pretty good that year going into it as it was. I mean, it wasn't like
right.
they were bad.
Right.
And but, yes, they got the right players at the deadline to bring him the cup back then, way back, 60 years ago?
Yes. Well, I mean, it was a matter of –
That's
2 years. It was a matter of
– years.
Right. It was a matter of them, you know, they were a good regular season team, but Mike Keenan, you know, they knew they weren't built for a long playoff run, and that's why they went out and got guys like, you know, McTavish and Noonan and Mateau and I'm trying to think of who else came at the trade deadline. Anyway, it doesn't really matter now anyway. This isn't Rangers Radio. This is Blue Shirt Banner Radio, where we talk about the present.
Yeah, well, nothing much happened in the present, so – I want to go down some of the guys I would have liked to have gotten. I think who was it that pointed it out? Who else went in that? I have it right here. You know, I'm so ill-prepared tonight. Oh, Kevin Porter. Kevin Porter and Peter Mueller for Voltev Volsky. I like that trade. What else? I like, you know, Ryan Whitney, I like that kid too, but they got he was traded for Vishnovsky. Edmonton traded Vishnovsky to Anaheim for Ryan Whitney, and a sixth round pick. I like that, and I like Seidenberg. I thought the Rangers could use him. I thought maybe a Girardi for Seidenberg would have been a good deal. Seidenberg had a good year last year. Rangers could use a defenseman like him. The only guy we heard that we talked about a little bit that would be traded another was the immortal Rafi Torres, who Ranger fans were talking about that he perhaps would come to the Rangers. It wasn't to be as he went to Columbus. I mean, he goes to the Sabres from Columbus. So I don't know. Everybody's looking at the winners and losers, and everybody's saying the Caps shored themselves up. Pittsburgh shored themselves off getting Ponikarovsky, although I think he's a UFA at the end of the season. So, but they need it for the cup repeat. So they may have made a good move there. And so, I mean, I didn't see many major guys go by the board that I said, oh, I want that guy. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just a direction the Rangers have decided to go in. And or maybe they just wanted to fuel fire for this Glenn Sather rally because nothing was done because
wait,
there were so many disappointed Ranger fans out there.
Wait a minute. Wait, there's a direction? Are you telling me that after all these years there's a direction? Where do they get off going and having a direction? That's just crazy.
Wow.
Do you want to hear a quick couple of blurbs about the guys the Rangers acquired today or not? Are you interested or not?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's have some funsies here with these. Well, I know one guy's 35 years old. Holy cow!
All right, hold on. Here's Chris Newbery. Newbery has registered one goal in four games with Detroit this season, tallying a goal in his season debut December 14th versus Phoenix. Newbery has appeared in 52 games with the Grand Rapids Griffins of the American Hockey League, registering 11 goals and 22 assists, along with 144 penalty minutes. He leads the team and is tied for 19th in the NHL, in the AHL in penalty minutes, and ranks third on the Griffins in points, tied for third in assists, fifth in power play goals with three, and ranks eighth in goals. He has registered five multi-point performances on the season, including 2 3-point efforts on October 25th versus Abbotsford and December 13th at Toronto, one goal and two assists. Newbery posted a season-high seven-game point streak from October 25th to versus Abbotsford to November 13th versus Milwaukee, registering 9 points over the span. The 5'10", 205-pounder has skated in 48 career NHL contests with the Maple Leafs and Red Wings, registering 4 goals and 3 assists, along with 64 penalty minutes. He made his NHL debut with Toronto on December 23rd, 2006, versus Washington, and notched his first NHL point with a goal in his fifth game on January 1st, 2007, versus Boston. That is the quick blurb on – there's more, but that's enough. On Chris Newbery. And let me give you real quick.
Encyclopedia Britannica on Chris Newbery. Who had to write that? I could go on three sentences with that. All right, go ahead.
Anders Ericsson, who somebody called Anders Hedberg on Blue Shirt Banner today and asked if Ulf Nielsen was coming along with them. Ericsson, 35, was originally a first-round draft pick in 93 by Detroit, and captured the 1997-98 Stanley Cup championship with the Red Wings. The 11-year veteran has skated in 564 NHL games with Detroit, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Florida Panthers, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Calgary Flames, the Phoenix Coyotes, the Cleveland Barons, the California Golden Seals, the Colorado Rockies, and the Montreal Maroons. In addition, he escaped 36 career postseason contests, registering 6 assists with 18 penalty minutes and a +5 rating. Ericsson tallied a career-high 5 assists and a plus seven rating in 18 games during Detroit's championship run in the 1998 Stanley Cup playoffs. Internationally, the Bolinas, Sweden native, has represented his country in several tournaments. He helped Sweden capture the bronze medal at the 1995-1999 IIHF World Championship, registering 3 assists in 10 games. He also won the silver medal in the 1994 IIHF World Junior Championship. That is the quick breakdown on Anders Ericsson, folks. There you go.
Wow. I needed a timeout.
I'm excited, there. Eddie. Look at these guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let's roll out the barrel. We'll have a barrel of fun. Wow. Seriously, I mean, not something earth-shattering. We waited around so much. I just want to take it to the chat room for a second. Jada, that's asking about Enver Leeson supporters. Please tell me why you were upset at Leeson being waived yesterday, because people were. I wasn't upset. I'm a guy who was behind Enver Leeson, so to speak, very early on, and then he just kind of flatlined. I don't think Enver Leeson is going to be a second-line player, but he probably could be a good third-line, fourth-line player. I just think that John Tortorella just messed with the kid's head, and I just don't think he's been anything. And I don't think he'll be anything in a Ranger uniform. So,
get a little bit of a to get Jackie Leeson, as the great Hyde Seacole calls him.
Jackie Leeson, never listened.
Never lost. Never listened. Enver Lawson.
You're going to complain about Enver Leeson. There's plenty of Enver Leesons. Yes, that's right. Rock just brought it up. This is good. The Corpedo was traded for him. Why they gave that guy a nickname, I have no idea. So, it's here nor there. The Rangers have so many problems, and Belisa most likely won't be a Ranger next year anyway.
All right, let's let me give out the phone number real quick before I forget, and we'll get right back to it, because we want to take a lot of phone calls from you guys tonight.
Call in, boys, girls.
There's a crap. crap load of you in the chat room. There's no reason not to call. 646-478-4692. Don't just chat. Call us up. We want to hear your opinion. Do you like the fact that they stood pat except for the Erickson and I forgot the guy's name, Chris Newberry trade? Or, you know, are you happy they stood pat? Are you upset that they didn't make a move? We want to hear what you guys have to say. So it's 646-478-4692. And again, we'll have Adam Rader in a little while and Mike Zippo, the organizer of the Fire Seder Rally. We'll probably run into the podcast tonight. We'll see what happens. If you guys want to listen to the podcast, you can call in before the show ends. We'll leave you on hold, and then and you'll be able to stay on and listen to the podcast. So that's it. We've got the tone set. Let's get back to it. We're talking about the trades and Corpedo. How's he? You know, I haven't even looked at his numbers lately. The last I saw, he had two goals. Have you looked at what he's doing?
I don't know. You got Russ Cohen tweets me every time he scores a shootout goal. Korpakovsky there. I don't know. I don't care. I don't live in the past. Rangers
four
fans
goals, three
can't
assists.
Let go. They're still talking about Pruka. Pruka would be third on the Rangers in scoring if he was on the Rangers. Who cares? What's that say? He still could stink. Let it go.
Korpakovsky has 7 points in 53 games. And I know he was benched a little bit. Coyotes get very little coverage out here, so it's hard. And I don't get to catch many of their games. Pruka, 11 goals, 9 assists, 20 points in 63 games. So there you go.
Korpakovsky scored two goals for the Coyotes on Saturday's loss to the Capitals, his first tally since November 27th, and that was on January 24th, that update. So he went a while without scoring. Let's put it a minus 13 for such a defensive wizard that we couldn't deal without. What was going to happen to our penalty killing without Lauri Korpakovsky-Topino? Oh, God. All right, people are over Pruka. Good.
Good. Marcy has declared it.
All right. Now, look, Amanda, I'll tell you, be respectful. All right. So go ahead, Jim. Now, what else are we going to talk about?
Well, there was a game last night, but, you know, amidst all this this insanity.
Yes!
There was
and
a game last night.
I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, really, I mean, we're talking about Fire Glenn said that maybe he's got this team going in the right direction now. Maybe him and Tortorella they've got this team going in the right places. What a second period. I mean, beautiful goals by Callahan.
Yeah, where did Callahan get that move? I mean, that was a thing of beauty. Where did he get that? Find that? He must have found that in Vancouver.
He must have.
It was, again, you know, there wasn't, I mean, as far as watching the game and trying to recap it on Blue Shirt Banner, other than the three, you know, the outburst, the goals in the second period, it was kind of a boring game, really. I mean, we had the, you know, the boring first period, and then the Rangers came out, scored early, and Callahan got a goal early in the second period. Then they had three goals in 2 minutes, and then it was 4-1, and that was kind of it. It was just, overall, it wasn't. I thought it was a fairly nondescript game, except for the fact that they won and managed to score a couple of goals again without Gavrik in the lineup. And you know, it was nice to see Sean Avery score another goal. It's back-to-back games for him, and Brandon Dubinsky has tied his career high for goals. And Callahan, you know, with two nice goals. And how about, I don't know if they showed this stat on MSG. I had the Ottawa feed on center ice last night, and I put it up on Blue Shirt Banner in my recap. Henrik Lundqvist, 25 of the last 32 games, two goals or less.
Oh, that's a very interesting stat.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. I'm mesmerized by this chat room right now. Sorry.
It's busy, I'll tell you. I'm watching it, but I'm not participating. I'm just kind of watching everybody talk.
You know, I have
but
to
anyway,
admit,
let's
take, I did. Okay, take some phone calls.
I think we got Adam Rader on the line, so let's get right to him. Adam?
November 7th, 1975. The Rangers acquire Phil Esposito and Carol Vadney from the Boston Bruins. October 4th, 1991, Mark Messier from the Edmonton Oilers. And today, March 3rd, 2010, Chris Newbury. Newbury.
Well, Adam, welcome to the program. Always always nice to talk to you. Glad to see you're feeling a little bit better. You came
Thank
up with
you,
the
Jim.
You wrote a bit.
Thank you.
Came up with a little bit. I like that.
Thank you. Thank you.
So
good to be here.
I get the feeling you were a little bit underwhelmed by the
underwhelmed
transactions.
Underwhelmed is the word of the day, gentlemen. But, you know, in hindsight, I mean, if you're a Ranger fan, I mean, I don't know if anyone was expecting or hoping Glenn Sather to bring all guns to bear and go out and try to pull off a blockbuster. It's possible he tried and found that, you know, teams were, you know, my guess is that every team now, when the Rangers make a call, they ask for Dubinsky or Callahan, and then that's the end of the conversation. But you know, today was. I think the Rangers probably would have been better served selling rather than buying, especially in this market, because with so many teams thinking they've got a chance, the Rangers, you know, might have been able to get a team to overpay today. But if they're going to insist on being buyers, then probably their most pressing needs were a goal scorer, a big physical defenseman, and a backup goaltender, and over the last couple of weeks, if you look at Ald and Jokinen and Eriksson together, they probably feel like they've answered those questions.
Yeah, I thought with the plethora of defensemen that they have,
yeah,
that something would have to move. But apparently, you know, I know Bobby Sanguinetti was a little bit banged up, but I expected him to go. And you know, it just didn't come to fruition. I feel there probably were some deals there, and like you said, I would have liked to seen those guys go, sell those guys off for the future, and like you said, pretty much they probably figured they have addressed all the needs that they needed. You know,
you may have already,
they were looking for.
Yeah, you guys may have already, you know, covered this, but I mean, obviously, you know, I was just joking a little bit about the Chris Newbury deal. It's a you know, it's a deal that's not even worth talking about. Although, when you think about it, even getting one of Ken Holland's cast-offs probably ends up being an improvement. But Anders Eriksson is a journeyman defenseman, 35. He's got some size, not overly physical. He's by no means the nasty blue liner presence that I think a lot of fans were hoping they were going to get. For purely an experience factor, Rangers probably feel like they're more comfortable with him back there, you know, than say a Bobby Sanguinetti. If they need to go beyond the six defensemen they've been carrying all season, the overly pessimistic view, he's going to be a Swedish Marek Milik. We'll see what happens. It's been a while since he's played a full season in the NHL.
Now,
right,
Adam, I said early in the show that I thought the Rangers were interested in Soure. And that when the word came down that he would be out for the rest of the season, it kind of had a domino effect on all their plans. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Oh, I think it's very possible. The Rangers probably inquired about Soure, but again, if the Oilers, who are in rebuilding mode, said, "Okay, we'll give you Soure, but we want Dubinsky in return," who knows what they asked for? The Oilers could probably use immediate help, but their way has always been to get the young player who's going to be good, you know, in a couple of years. Dubinsky is starting to, you know, emerge as a player who, you know, can give you, you know, a lot of minutes, and is, as you've mentioned right before I came on, he's already matched his season high for goals. So I don't know how you'd look at him. Is he necessarily a player who helps you right now or a couple of years from now? I would say he's probably a right now type of player. But the Oilers, those are the kind of players I'm sure the Oilers would have asked for. And the Rangers probably got scared off. It might have also been a contractual thing. And maybe they very wisely looked at their cap situation, looked at the money that Soray was going to be owed over the next few years, and said, you know what? Too rich for our blood.
Yeah, I think that was that's a pretty good analysis. I mean, Edmonton was looking to sell. They've got a lot of big contracts they want to get rid of. And they seem to be kind of in the same boat the Rangers were. And I don't think I just don't think Soray was a good fit. I think he's one of these guys, Adam, and, you know, like 10 years ago I was saying, you know, they should get Seldon Soray, and it always seems like then 10 years later the guy's name comes up again. And I think predominantly Ranger fans did not want to see Soray here, and surely didn't want to get him up for Brandon Dubinsky. I mean, that would have been
Yeah, of course, that's just, yeah, but just yeah, that's my own speculation. It's not like I heard that's definitely who the Oilers asked for, but that's their MO. I mean, as you said, they're trying to shed contracts. Dubinsky doesn't make a lot of money. That's the kind of player they would have asked for. It's also possible that the Rangers said, okay, we'll take Soray off your hands if you take Redden or Roosevelt, and that might have ended the conversation right there. So you don't know what happened.
So, I mean, in your opinion, I mean, getting away from the, I mean, the brilliant Newberry move by the Rangers, who are some of your big winners from this trading deadline as far as you're looking at it?
Caps made a lot of moves. Phoenix, I mean, who would have thought? I mean, that really blew me away. I mean, who would have thought 6 months ago that the Phoenix Coyotes not only would be as good as they've been, but that they were going to be one of the major players at the trade deadline. That's real. They far and away. I mean, I think they were the big winner today.
I think so too. I mean, they, and I guess, you know, they're doing everything they can to generate interest in that team. I mean, you know, they sent Derek Morris over to the Bruins. They got the Volsky deal, the Wojtek Volsky deal. Shake up. They got Matthew Schneider, I think, too. I can't
yes, they did.
Matthew.
Yep.
And then, of course, we give him Mika Wickman.
Who's a good minor league goaltender, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard that he's a pretty good goaltender.
I've
and,
seen him play. He's a decent goaltender.
So
I like,
you know,
I like Joe Corvo to the Caps. I thought that was another good move. I think that was something that the Caps could use as a veteran defenseman back there, somebody with some experience and he certainly brings that, a good two-way player. I think that, yeah, I would say that when once the dust clears, I think those are the two teams that came away probably most improved.
Yeah, I like the moves Toronto made, too. I really did. I thought, I mean, here's a guy who's come in and has completely cleaned house, and, you know, I like, this guy has been a favorite of mine, this Luca Caputi guy, which everybody ever laughs when I mention this guy's name, but I'm telling you, he's a good player. He's a 6'3" left winger, and he's going to get his chance to play. He was with Pittsburgh, and we had Martin Skula got traded like twice, right? He's now on the Devils. That guy didn't last long. He's being bandied about,
yeah.
So to speak.
He got traded to the Devils today. That was what was he with Toronto for a day, 2 days?
Yeah. I mean, now, Adam, are you looking at the Rangers now? I mean, we are on the semi-winning streak here. I mean, you see this as a trend?
God, I wish I could answer that question. I mean,
I tried to hold my laugh back.
Nobody has better pregnant pauses than Adam Rader.
Jim, let me tell you something. That anyone who knows me, that's not just when we're talking about the Rangers. That's anything in life. Adam, what do you want to have for dinner? Oh, boy. That's a tough question. I certainly hope it's a trend. You got some worries. I mean, you don't know what's going to be with Marian Gaborik and the groin. And this was an issue when he was first signed. What, you know, how is his health going to be? And his health so far has been good, knock on wood. And and then you have the Olympics, and he pulls something, and now you wonder if he's going to be 100% the rest of the way, and this is a critical time for a team that's scrambling to make the playoffs, and obviously he's your best offensive player. You want him to be 100%. You don't know when he's going to be back, and then when he is back, how good is he going to be? Can Oliokinen help pick up the slack? I mean, are guys like, you know, Dubinsky and Callahan, obviously, who had, you know, big games last night, and Sean Avery, you know, you want to get a little bit from all those guys. If all of the people I just mentioned continues to perform, and if Gabrick comes back and is reasonably effective, and if Henrik is his usual stellar self, I predicted at the beginning of the season that the Rangers would make the playoffs. My colleague Russ does not agree. I think he still thinks they're going to miss. I think they still make it as a 7 or the 8. At what cost? I mean, I think it would have been smarter to sell, as you know. I mean, I've been very vocal about that. I think the Rangers should start over. But if the priority is to make the playoffs, I say they do it.
Yeah. It's tough to say. And, you know, one of the things that's without Michael Delzato, too, another guy who we really thought was an intricate part of the D, and maybe, you know, Michael needed this rest, especially for the Rangers, because he was becoming a little bit of a liability defensively. You know, he's rocking that minus 18. I'm glad to see, without the key components, that they've been able to beat some teams, even though last night, I don't know what was – they must have gave everybody in Ottawa – Ambien on the way in there, but that place was quiet. I mean, it
was sure
ridiculous.
Was.
I have no idea why it was so quiet there. Are they having Canada's having their after Olympics, a little bit of post gold medal jet lag, so to speak? I don't know what's going on over there. But
I think that's exactly what it was. I think that was just a little bit of a letdown for those people last night after Sunday. And yeah, it was so quiet. I had the Ottawa, like I said, I had the Ottawa feed. And it was, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it sounded like there were like 2,000 people in the arena.
It's hard. You know, you for a couple of weeks, the Olympics, it's hockey played at such a high level. In every game, guys are just pushing themselves so hard. And then you have that huge whoosh, that exhilaration, one country euphoric, the other country despondent, and then less than 24 hours later, it's like, we got to get back to the NHL season. So there's a little bit of a letdown there, and I'm not surprised that it was a little quiet in Ottawa last night. I was a little annoyed to hear that they were showing the Canadian players scoring goals during the U.S. national anthem. And I believe the Ottawa Senators, after the fact, said, "Yeah, that's a little bush league. You know, that's kind of a little disrespectful."
You just wound me up right now. I'll tell you right now. Again, congratulations, Canada. You won the gold medal in ice hockey. Okay, you didn't send the first man to the moon like the United States did. All right? This isn't going to be – I mean, they're still talking about it. Oh, and Sydney's got the gold and this and that, and everything is about the gold medal. Yes. I mean, they're just completely gone a little bit arrogant. I said this before this started, Adam. There's an arrogance in Canada that I just don't get. I mean, I understand it's their game. They should be the best at it. They had the best team. Congratulations, Canada. You won the gold medal. But you know what? You really weren't the story. The story to me was that we had a United States team that wasn't supposed to medal, wasn't supposed to do ungot there, and they came out, they played like a team, and every game in that tournament, they played their hearts out, and it took an overtime. We're a 4-on-4 overtime, so to speak, which to me, I'm not sour grapes on this. I said this last night. Should have never been 4-on-4. Why was it 4-on-4? I know it's the rules, but it didn't make sense because, like, the game wasn't exciting enough, 5-on-5. I mean, You know, I mean, that's the way I feel about it. And Sidney Crosby, God bless him, he's a great player. He's a magic player. But let it go, Canada. You haven't, the, you know, yet this hasn't the cure for cancer because you won the freaking gold medal. I mean, seriously, it's just calm down. In between breaks on TSN today, all it does was, a, between the trade rumors, it was a verbal BJ, so to speak, about the, how great the Canadians were in the gold medal. And, you know, it's just nonsense. And then I hear this crapola that they're showing Canadian goal scorers during the American National Anthem. That's absolutely no class.
Jim?
Yes, sir.
Jim, you're welcome.
You got to fire it up. I love it. We like them this way.
Yeah. In fairness, I mean, I agree with Mouth. But I would say, in fairness, if this were a tournament of the best American-born baseball players versus the best Canadian-born baseball players, and Canada won, you know, we would be. How would the Americans feel about that? We would be insane. We would be jumping out of windows in this country. It's expected. And when you talk about arrogance, I think that's, look, it's Canada feels a certain ownership of that sport, the same way that Americans feel about baseball. So I don't, I mean, I can understand some of that arrogance. I can appreciate that because, in fairness, you got to be fair, we Americans feel that way about some of our sports as well. If they're still talking about it 6 months from now.
Oh, they will be.
They may be. But you do have to, I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, chatter on the web and everywhere else and a lot of anti-Canada stuff. And I'm not, I don't subscribe
no,
to that.
I'm
you can't,
even,
this is, yeah, it's not about that. But you have to be, you have to take your hat off to them. They won fair and square.
Exactly. I have no problems with that. But, I mean, when an organization, I mean, you just broke it to me about the Ottawa thing. As an organization, don't you think that perhaps this might be a little, I mean, listen, I'm not a politically correct guy, obviously, Adam. But what I'm saying
I think I heard the verbal BJ reference. I knew that
that
went out the window.
BJ that they got to give every, oh, thank God, for he's part of our team. Anyway, what I'm saying is here, don't you think that Ottawa organization could say, you know, maybe, you know, showing this might be a little bit, I mean, in the spirit of the Olympics, where it is supposed to be the coming together of nations, you got a dope like Mike Milbury saying Euro trash. I mean, you know, it just, to me, it's, I don't know, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, it just, why an organization with this is like the same thing as a beef I have with the Drylanders playing the chicken dance and playing all the other thing, the anti-Rangers sentiment. You know, it's kind of just a low-class move. I don't know. Maybe I'm just sensitive to the subject, but, I mean, imagine if the United States had won and the Maple Leafs come to the Garden and we're showing, Zaporizhzhia scoring against their national anthem. Forget about it. There'd be another riot up in Vancouver again like it was after the 94 playoff.
It would be inappropriate. It would be inappropriate.
Oh, I go at him. I go on a rant, and he goes, "That'd be inappropriate."
I agree. Right.
Sorry, COVID.
All right, so we got your thoughts on the Olympics, and we got Eddie's. We got another great rant from Eddie to save. We'll have to run that one again another night, Eddie.
Well, he pulled that clip out. Like you said, thank you, Jim. I mean,
exactly.
Thank you, Adam.
I have a question for you guys. I know that this is—it's been whispered about. No one's really pointing any fingers yet. But Marion Gaborik playing in the Olympics wasn't feeling quite right. Exerted himself, went 100%. You know, made the injury worse. Now potentially, you know, not available to the Rangers. I'm interested to hear what you guys think about that.
Well, Go ahead, Jim. I just think it's valid speculation. I mean, it's valid speculation. You send a guy there, and he just wasn't 100% in the Olympics, and now he's not available. Let's hope. You know, let's hope that groin is not tweaked, ladies and gentlemen, or we got problems. So, where there's smoke, there may be fire. Jim, give him your take.
I didn't, after watching him play in the Canada game, and you could tell he wasn't right, and I had made the comment that the Rangers would probably be best served just giving him the week off. Giving him a week off and not playing him until Sunday. And then they had the medal game against Finland. And, you know, there was speculation that he wasn't going to play in that game. And then at the last minute, they said he was going to play. And I can't say I had a huge problem with it. If he felt good enough to play, we kept hearing how important that medal was to Slovakia. I understand, you know, the pride in his country. He wanted to play the game, and he thought he could go. You know, it's unfortunate that now he's not playing for the Rangers. Then the Rangers are the ones that pay his salary. But, you know, what are you going to do? This is the situation that occurs when you have NHL players playing in the Olympics. That's an unfortunate, it's an ancillary problem that comes along with it.
I didn't really have a problem with him playing. Yeah, Jim, I'm inclined to agree with you, and I just wanted to play devil's advocate there for a second. But I think that when you're in a tournament like that, I mean, how great would it be, no matter what country you're from, how great would it be to represent your country on a stage like that? I don't think it's an opportunity that you can pass up, and if you think you can go, you got to go.
Yeah, I mean, that was my sentiment exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I you can't blame him for wanting to go. I mean, and I thought it was, you know, you talk about the Olympics and you know, the pride, and I really was surprised by myself, because usually I'm a kind of skeptic guy, but I really got into those Olympics, and the USA, the patriotism came out, and I think for the layman hockey fan, or even a fan that follows the Rangers, got an opportunity to see other players play for six games, and then you start hearing Ranger fans talk about a Jack Johnson or an Eric Johnson and other players in the league, kind of giving them a little bit, maybe broaden the horizons. And I thought that was great about the Olympics, that we got to see that. And I'd like to see more, more tournaments like that, but, you know, once every 4 years probably is enough with holding the NHL. So that was great. And the same thing goes for the World Junior Championships. I was going nuts during that, and I think that probably hurt the Canadians. I'll tell you, that hurt the Canadians a lot, that the youth of the United States beat them, because that's what they're all about hockey there, and so are their youngsters, and the fact that we beat them, I mean, that has stick in their craw. But, you know, it was a great event, and I was just happy all around.
I think I have some Mounties at my door looking for Sidney Crosby's equipment. So I'm going to go deal with that.
All right. Well, Adam, we thank you for coming
Adam,
on. And
for stopping by.
Feel better,
guys,
buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate your pregnant pauses.
Like no one else's.
Have a good one,
all
guys.
Right, take care, Adam.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was the great Adam Rader, one of the authors of 100 Ranger Greats, along with Russ Cohen. And if you are a Ranger fan and you do not own that book by now, shame on you. You should own it. You should definitely have at least a copy. You have like six copies, don't you, Eddie? Did you buy a copy every
yeah.
time? You buy a copy
yeah,
every time
every
you go to a signing?
I like to support the cause. I'm down for the cause. And I tell you, when I do these card shows and I have the book out, you know, for people to read, and they go, this is a great book. I'm like, yeah, why don't you get it? Stop looking at mine. You know, I mean, go to board, pick the book up. It's great. And everybody's like, oh, I remember this guy. I remember this. Well, this guy should be higher. I think every Ranger fan should have that book. Rangers have history. And we've talked about that, and that book is chock full of history and pictures. So there you go.
Does anybody ever try and pick your book up and take it in the bathroom?
No, but people say, "Hey, yeah, the book's been flagged." They'll say, "Oh, you got this guy's autograph? You got that guy's autograph?" I said, "Yeah, I got the guy's autograph. Like, it's a big deal." But still, you know, it's, you know, I like to talk about it. And everybody always goes, "Eddie Johnstone." I loved Eddie Johnstone. Everybody loves Eddie Johnstone, including Paul, who I'm going to the game with tomorrow. Big Eddie Johnstone fan. Who's got this? I just want to just digress. He's got a son named Michael, and I got to tell you, I have no kids of my own, and that might be a good thing for you folks. But if I had a child that I could create, I would create this Michael kid, because you can name any NHL player. The kid's 10 years old. Any NHL player, he'll tell you his number, he'll tell you what team he's on. And he'll tell you if he's a captain or an assistant captain. I was like, any player. I was like, Jared Stahl. And then bam, he gives me the name and number. I mean, Michael, I give you mad props. I was so impressed I gave him a free Ryan Callahan rookie card. That's how impressed I was. All right, I digress.
You are so benevolent. You are a giver.
The benevolent mouth.
You are a giver. Why don't you run down your, why don't you do your roll call for the chat room real quick for everybody?
Oh, look at this. Look what we got here, boys, ladies and gentlemen of the jury in the blue shirt Banter Radio chat room. After this underwhelming day of Ranger trades, look who has joined us. Terminator. B23 Blue Pain. I've hung out with that man. He drinks beer and he loves Ranger hockey. Gotta love him. Beak 78789. That could be Steve Baker or Bill Baker. We don't know. Boyo Stripe. He was here yesterday. We love him. He comes. He's a repeat performer. Back to back games. We like you. City Hockey Fever. He's here. He's a man in the know. He knows what he's talking about. I like him. And then Coochie Wally. Very interesting name, Coochie. I don't know what that means or what that's supposed to imply, but I love it. Dave from BSB. Blue Shirt Bulletin, maybe? I don't know. Dave, we
Blue
love
Seat
you.
Blogs.
Welcome to the Blue Street Blogs.
Blue Seat Blogs. We've had Dave on the show. We've had Dave. Dave called in last week.
Oh, that's right. What do I know? I got a my memory is jello at this age. I just turned 45. DB Maven, the Perry White of Twitter, telling me what I should and should not tweet and clarify everything. It's Twitter, DB Maven. Nobody cares what I say. Frosty 99, there he is. Frosty hanging tough. Frosty knows his puck. He's one of the oldest senior citizens in this. Well, not senior citizens. Let's say veteran players in this chat room.
There you go.
The vivacious and lovely Jackie Lamba. Jackie Lamba brings a class to this chat room that is unequaled. James at 17. One of my favorite shows as a kid. James from Florida. James is bringing it down from Boogie Down Brooklyn. And Jay of the Dead, a man who despises Enver Leeson. He wants Enver Leeson dead. And then Critical. I'm sorry, Dave.
Hi, Critical.
Hi, Critical. Wow,
hi, Critical.
I sound like a cross-dresser there. Anyway, and then Luminati. I love that name, Luminati. That's kind of a takeoff on the Angels and Demons and another thing, Illuminati. I like that. Maybe that means.
Can we call him Leaping Illuminati?
Yeah, let's keep calling him Leaping Illuminati, like Leaping Lenny Poffo. And then who else we got here? Mandel, my co-host, and then Marcy Braverman, the quiet, cool, collected Marcy Braverman. Never stirs any trouble. Very quiet. Doesn't like to mix it up. What? I'm talking about the rogue Marcy Braverman. Marcy Braverman is a firecracker. And then Mike Zippo, the organizer, our fearless leader of the Fire Glen Seder Rally. We bow down to you as the gangs all are united in the Warriors movie. Mike Zippo is going to stand outside Roy Rogers and say, can you dig it? Fire Glenn Slater, the rally organizer, Paulie D, who has come in here to gloat. Yes, Paulie D wants us to say, yes, Paulie D, you are right. The Rangers have turned it around. Paulie D, we love you. The host of the Paulie D program, Mondays, 8:30 to 9:30. Holy cow. I'm out of breath. Can you dig it? I'm sorry. All right, Jim, pick up.
Is that everyone? Did you get everyone?
I know. I see Stan the Man is in here as well. Stan the Man. Stan the Man Stasiak? I don't know. A lot of wrestling references going on tonight. I don't leave everybody out, but we got, I think that's all of them, Jim.
Did you get Walker?
We got
Walker, New York Ranger?
I didn't see him down here. Walker, New York Ranger, he's a reg. I love him. He's here every night battling it out. He actually can listen to this for 2-3 hours, which I don't think even I can. But no, but he's in here. Spooky Mulder, that's right. Spooky Mulder, he's a new guy. Apparently a fan of X-Files, right? Do the whistle. And then Rock, 1193. Rock is a tough hombre. Don't mess with him. He'll punch your lights out. He's 250 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. And Ranger
now,
Dude 35. Wait, I'm about to say Ranger Dude 35. Zach, the frenetic Zach.
now with all those nice wrestling references, how did you miss out on Rock? Rocky's no jabroni. Can you smell what the Rock is cooking?
I don't know. I don't know the old references, but I do know that you smell what the Rock is cooking. So we got a lot of people in the chat room. Thanks again, guys, for joining us. I mean, the show isn't over. I'm just saying that I love it. I love the fact that everybody is coming into the show, and it's just a gathering of Ranger fans. And we have, the mainstream radio has shut us down, shut us out. We need a place to vent and commiserate, and this is the best place to do it. That's why I show up every I dedicate two nights of my high-profile life to this show, so I'm ready. So anyway.
let me clarify something for Jay of the Dead. I have one Jack in the Box within a mile of the house, but it's only about 3 blocks away. He said, I'm jealous of Jim because he probably has a dozen Jack in the Boxes within a mile of his house.
I'm a fan of that.
I'm a fan of Jack, no doubt about it.
And I wanted to mention Quick Release, who's back after a little bit of an absence. He's back, and now I'm done. We got any phone calls? You people need to call in. Jim, give out that number. What I want to hear, I want to banter.
The phone number to call is 646-478-4692. Yes, we have an open switchboard. Let's take lots of phone calls. We've got Mike Zippo is going to come up in a little while and tell us all about the Fire Seder Rally and what's going on. And don't forget, we will have it for you live from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time. It'll be me and Joe in the studio, and Eddie will be on scene wrestling with Mike for the megaphone so his voice can be heard.
Man, this is their thing. I'm going to go there and just network and talk to the fans. I mean, I hope, and I think, and pretty much Mike told us that it was going to happen from, six to seven, the rally, or 5 to 6. I'm not sure. I guess you'll need to clarify it. But,
I thought it's 5 to 7.
Oh, it's 2 hours. Okay. Well, anyway, whatever. I'm going there. I hope it's a lot of fun, and we get some attention. We get some people out there, and then we go and have some beers at Stout afterwards, and just hopefully then watch a Ranger victory. That's what I'm looking forward to it too. And I know Ricky's going to be down there, and I mean Elias the Goon's going to be down there. I'm going to be down there. Zach said he'd be down there, so we'll have some of the Blue Shirt Banner Radio piece down there representing, so to speak.
Stout is the that's the official bar of Blue Shirt Banner Radio, isn't it?
I guess. I mean, I, you know, we've been there. I mean, me and you were in the. Yeah, I like it. I like. You know, what they have a lot of good beer there, and but I like dark places. I mean, I like you know, I don't know. Maybe I look better in the dark. Maybe that's the reason.
It's swimming.
It's swimming. The darkness is swimming. It's swimming.
Yeah. I was 160 pounds in that place.
Yeah.
I was 160 pounds. I looked like I was back in fourth grade.
Yeah. You turn the lights out, and you know, when you're with your wife or your lover, and you all sound, everybody sounds like 150 pounds, 170 pounds once the lights are off. So anyway,
Dave from Blue Seat Blogs in the chat room that he got thrown out of Stout at 4 p.m. on a Thursday. That is classic, my friend. That is great.
Yes, very good. That deserves golf claps from the mouth. At 4 o'clock, being three sheets of the wind, you must have been hanging out with evil Dave Maloney.
All right, the switchboard just exploded. I'm not kidding when I said we went from two callers on hold to six callers on hold. So let's start bringing some people in. Let's get I want to get John on real quick because he's at work and just want to make a couple of quick comments. John, welcome to the program. How are you, buddy?
Hello, Jim. Hello, Eddie.
How are you?
Hello.
Oh,
hello,
I'm
John.
Stupendous. I'm at work.
The sarcasm is just dripping.
Giggity.
And just so you guys know, I used to like going to the Blarney Stone. That's where Jim and my other brothers introduced me to. That's where I used to go.
And what did you guys like about the Blarney Stone?
The Blarney Stone had good sandwiches, and this is a nice barn. It was, I don't know, what, a couple of hundred feet away from Penn Station in the garden?
I'll tell you what I remember about the Blarney Stone. I used to like going in there, and they used to have the big... They used to have that big roast beef, you know, fresh that they just cooked, and they'd slice you off a sandwich, and then you get the macaroni and cheese with it, and then between the first and second period of a hockey game, you had to make a run to the bathroom. That's my memory of the Blarney Stone. Anyway, but John, go ahead. Your thoughts on the non-activity that went on today? Look at this switchboard. Good Lord.
I mean, the guys they picked up. I mean. Who the hell cares, honestly? But, I mean, I'm glad they didn't do any stupid moves. I saw a lot of names flying around on the game, the open threads for the trade deadline. Surrey, Gilbert, people are still talking about Horton. I don't know if people were making up rumors about Redding going to L.A. or to Edmonton for Gilbert to dump salary. There were some wild things going around. Doubt any of them were true. If the Rangers were going to make any moves, as I'm sure any Ranger fan will agree with me, they wanted salary dumped. They wanted Redden gone. They wanted Roosevelt gone. Surrey is too old. Gilbert is a younger Redden. And Horton's got a broken leg. The people that were mentioned that the Rangers were interested in,
sounds
why the
right.
hell would you go for them?
Well, I mean, look, you're right. They were trying to, you know, if they wanted to make deals, you know, they try and move salary, but who's going to, you know, hard to find takers for your trash sometimes. What can you do?
Well, that's the whole reason that odds are they didn't even get any deals done. Even if they were to, for whatever reason, they would get a deal done for Surrey. I mean, what else could they possibly do? Odds are they were going to have to give up a prospect or draft picks or Dubinsky or Callahan. And don't be wrong, I like Callahan, but I mean, for the right player, I'd trade Dubinsky. I would, in a heartbeat. For Surrey, he ain't the guy to trade for.
Yeah.
Well,
I think we
all this. You know, like I said, Surrey's got the infection. He's got the gout or whatever it is, and he'll be out the rest of the season.
Clap.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Another thing, also, just real quick, I wanted to mention, was last night the game, I only caught it from the second period and on. It's always a very good game. Second period, of course, amazing. Good back-and-forth action. And, Jim, I sent you a message about this yesterday during the game. Is anybody else curious as to why when Drury got off on that breakaway, just decided to stop and turn around and then just lose the puck?
You know, I was kind of – I was a little distracted at that point. My daughter was kind of running around and making noise, so I kind of missed that play, but I saw a lot of comments about it. in the open game thread, so I don't know exactly what happened. But, Eddie, do you remember that, what John's talking about?
Maybe he thought he was killing a power play. I mean, that's what he does. Maybe he was on the penalty kill. He was ragging the puck. I have no idea what he was doing in that play, and I was screaming like a crazy man.
I mean, the only thing I was able to possibly think of is, you know, maybe he thought he had somebody coming down on the right side of the rink. He thought maybe I can, you know, stop, spin around, throw the puck across ice for the shot, and he probably realized, oh, crap, nobody followed me, and then the puck just got away from him, and Ottawa picked it right back up and went into the Rangers' zone.
Yeah. Well, the chat room was saying that he had no legs and he was 1-on-4. That's no excuse.
I mean, the worst he could have done was at least, you know, he goes to the net, he takes a shot. Best thing happens, he scores. If not, he killed a few seconds of the penalty and put the puck on net. What's the worst that happens?
Right. Listen, I'm not going to get on him. The Rangers won. All is good in Rangerland. A lot of people were so enamored with this trading deadline stuff. We're forgetting that the Rangers have actually won some games here. I mean, except for that Nashville Blizzard game in front of 13,000 fans, which I was one of them. What have they won? 4 out of 5? 5 out of 6? What's going on now, guys? I mean,
four out of the last five, three in a row.
They are 2 games over .500 in ninth place with 65 points, with the Bruins in eighth, and the Bruins have 2 games in hand.
Wow.
And they are a point behind Montreal for the 7th spot, and they have a game at hand on Montreal.
Wow. So they're still in the thick of it. I mean, you know, as much as some of us want to, not me, but there's a lot of fans that feel that they should tank, and they're going to hang around, you know, and they're going to just torture us to the end. And then we're going to be torn because we're going to want to see playoff hockey, and then we're going to be rooting for them, and then they'll maybe make the playoffs and then get shellacked, and we'll all be – we'll all feel sad, and then we can have, like, you know, we can have after counseling on this show for the whole summer. That's what I'm looking forward to. It.
All right, John, we got to get to some other calls, and we'll put you back on hold, all right?
Of course.
All right, John, he doesn't sound happy.
Now he's got to go back to work. All right, we're going to work our way down the switchboard here. 718-225, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Must be Stan.
Hey, Stan, how are you?
Stan, man. Hey, Stan, how are you?
Stan the man. I'm doing fine.
How are you, man?
All right. On today, just as well, he did nothing. I was getting nervous that Taylor might, you know, go off on a bender.
I like that. Go off on a bender. so you're kind of glad they stood pat and...
Yeah, most of these deals don't work out in the long run, these rental players and stuff. It's not like they're, you know, angling for the cup, let's face it. They're going to get into eighth place at best. So, I mean, well, why give up anything of value? That's my feeling on it.
Yeah, I was very relieved after it was all said and done. Nothing really did happen because, you know, if he would have went out and traded, you know, prospects or draft picks for guys that, like you said, rental players, I mean, really, we'd be talking people off the ledges all night tonight. So, yeah, I'm relieved that that they really didn't make any move. Because, really, let's face facts, Stan, like you said, it's not like they're angling for the cup. And, you know, we're not a very good team, and there isn't anybody out there that could have made us a good team. I mean, really, I mean, there aren't 5 players out there. We need about 5 players to make us a good team. So, you know, I think you're right about that. I mean, was there one guy that you would have liked to seen come to the Rangers?
Yeah, Ovechkin.
Well, I don't think they could have swung
that. Disagree with him.
Redden and Roosevelt for Ovechkin. I make that deal in a heartbeat.
I should have passed it by DB Maven if I could have tweeted that, because DB, you know, you're our new editor here, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah,
nobody of any real great value was even traded today. It's all the third line players, sixth defensemen, spare parts.
A lot of spare parts.
Yeah,
exactly.
Nobody's making any great changes.
But you weren't, you know, a lot of people were talking about Nathan Horton. You weren't disappointed. David Booth, as it didn't get, were you excited or jazzed at that?
Booth's a good player, but who are you going to get for? Who are they going to take for him? You know?
Hmm.
I don't know. No. I mean, some of these rumors are just, you know, they're just ridiculous. People just make stuff up and throw it on the web.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I talked about this, Jim. You know, listen, I understand it. I just think it's kind of fun in that everybody's getting into hockey. And, yeah, I know there are some Looney Tunes out there that just throw out these rumors. But, you know, for the most part, it's good-natured. I mean, you take it for what it's worth. I mean, you know, the Internet makes everybody a reporter out there. I mean, you know. And I just liked it for the fact that that Eklund bozo probably got about, like, 300% less hits this year because everybody was basically staying away from him and just sitting on the tweeter there, the twatter there. So,
anyone know what their deal with Gabby is? They say day to day, but is it day to day or that's it? You know, how serious is his leg injury?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
You know, they say it's day to day. I don't know. Somebody had something yesterday again floating around that it was a little more serious than that, but you know, who knows? You know, and plus it's, you know, it's the Rangers, and they love to, you know, everything shrouded in secrecy. You know, only dribs and drabs come out of the Kremlin. So, you know, until you see him on the ice, who knows?
Yeah. Because obviously without him for the majority of the games, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Well, no, I don't see them, you know, I'm surprised they're, you know, they've been scoring without him in the lineup a couple of these games, but we know that ain't going to last.
No, exactly.
I don't know why you guys are not really embracing this winning streak.
I'm embracing it, but
I mean,
I'm glad.
Well, you got a little bit like the glass half empty still. I mean...
What do you want me to do? Go dust off my lawn chair for our spot on the Canyon of Heroes? It's three out of five.
You seem to get a little bit bitter when things are down, and then when things are good, you don't know how to switch to the glee, the happiness that's involved with a winning streak. They don't come around too often around these parts. I think you should embrace them a little bit more.
I'm embraced. I'm excited. We got the Penguins, Caps, and Sabres and Devils the next four games.
I was just about to say, we'll wait till this time next week, and then we'll see what's
going
on.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys are going to make me a deal, because if they go two out of three in the next three games, maybe you guys come back here with a little bit more positive attitude, maybe start drinking some of the Kool-Aid with me.
I'll tell you what, if they get two out of the next three, we'll start next week off with this. I'll be very excited. Yes. Well, we'll talk a little bit more later when we get to the second half of the show after we get some callers out of the way. But I have a couple of things to throw at you. It's optimistic. It's all optimistic. So we'll get into it a little later on.
All right.
Anyway, Stan, anything else?
No, that's it for now.
All right.
All right, take care, Stan.
We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
I see you were worried that you had scared Stan off the rant that he said.
Oh, no.
Had enough.
Stan knows. If Stan survived that rant I went off on the Olympics and the Canadians, he still stood on, so... Wow, and so, you know, I don't know. That's all I have to say about that. Now, let's get some more callers.
All right, we got plenty. Let's go to, let's get James on here. James, good evening. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. How are you?
I'm fine, Jim. How about yourself? Hey, Ed.
How you doing, my friend?
Pretty good.
Right, give us your take. Are you happy they stood pat, or did you want to see some moves, or what? Give us your take.
Well, I mean, I think any fan always wants to see a movie, always hopes something is just going to come out, something great, you know, but kind of had that feeling it wasn't going to happen, and it didn't. I think we got all our stuff taken care of a month or so ago when we got Jokinen, and, you know, we made a couple of trades. And the big boys, I guess, you know, the Kovalchuks and whoever else was out there, most of the big names were gone already anyway. And for us, I think maybe it was best that we, you know, just stand pat for now. I mean, unless you could absolutely rob someone. You know, if you could rob someone and really, you know, get rid of some contracts and do it. But I guess, you know, there has to be the other taker on the other side willing to do it, and nobody was willing. So I guess we're stuck with the Reddins and the Rosies and the contracts. But, you know, I guess all in all, you know, we stand pat right now. We made our few trades, you know, like I said, a month ago or so. And we'll go with what we got, and hopefully, you know, we could get somewhere in the playoffs. You know, it would be nice to make it and hopefully, you know, get into a couple of rounds. And maybe next year will be a different story.
There you go. I agree. You know, nobody was going to take, you know, you're right. You know, we've said it before. They just couldn't find takers for what they had. And you know, rather than do something stupid, you know, they did a little tinkering and we'll forge ahead.
Exactly. It's like, it's right. We all want to see something, but sometimes you're better off, you know, just, you know, standing pat, and we all want to see that trade. We all want to see something happen, but like I said, there's always that other end there. You know, maybe Sade is trying to, you know, rip someone off and they just wouldn't go for it. You know, I mean, I'm sure the guy tried. I'm sure he's, you know, trying to do something today. I don't know, unless he was chomping on the cigar again, you know, hanging out in Palm Springs or whatever the hell he goes, you know. But I
think she tried to do something stupid. It just didn't come off.
I think so. I mean, I'm sure he tried to tinker a little bit, but, you know, there's only,
right.
You know, I guess so many teams, he's able, you know, he's talking to so many GMs and trying to find the fit, see if anybody will take some of our crappy contracts, and nobody was stupid enough to do it, you know?
No,
so, you know, and then after seeing last night, we were missing a couple of our guys, and my prediction was wrong, which I was happy about. And the one thing that I saw was one of the main reasons we won that game was we didn't take any penalties really at all. We played a pretty much, we only had one penalty the whole game until the very end. And we showed that 5-on-5, we played pretty decent. You know, we played against a good Ottawa team in Ottawa and, you know, missing those guys, DZ and missing Gabby. And, you know, they still looked good. And Mandar was right again. I tell you, he's right. He said Henrik was rested.
I'm telling you.
He said Henrik was rested, and he was only going to give up a goal or something like that, and he was right again, and I was glad about that, I tell you.
Mandar knows his stuff. I mean, you know, you hate – he's a guy you love to hate. But I tell you, he's right all
I love
time.
The guy because he always comes up with that different twist on something that nobody else sees every time, and he did it again.
Oh boy, we're not gonna be able to fit. We're gonna fit his head in the studio.
Oh man,
don't worry, we couldn't fit it before either.
Okay, now, I better shut up then, huh?
He talked about a guy that you were talking about guys that the Rangers acquired or had acquired already that are on the team. And here's a guy I want everybody's take on this in the chat room and the fans at home to call in on Christensen. Guys look pretty good lately.
Yeah.
I mean, what, you know, does Erik Christensen have a future as a Ranger for next year? What do you guys think about? What's the jury on Christensen?
Hey, I guess we just got to keep watching the guy and see what he does. I mean, so far, so good. I mean, you know, he hasn't done anything stupid. You know, he does anything noticeably, you know, wrong, and you're like, uh-oh, this guy's totally screwing them up or doing anything. Seems to be fitting in, seems to be going okay. And, you know, the more and more you see of him, okay, you know, let's give him more time and see what happens. You know, let's hope, let's just hope. I know I'm talking pretty generically here. I haven't seen too much of him. But from what I've seen, I haven't really seen anything, you know, outstanding, but I have seen nothing bad, which is a good thing, I guess, because he's not standing out showing that he's doing something wrong or anything like that. But he seems to be fitting in there because I haven't really noticed anything too bad when he's on the ice.
I'm laughing here because I'm reading the chat room. Metro Hockey put Christensen is Jason Krog and Brad Esbister combined.
Here's the problem that I see with Christensen, and I like him. I think he's played well for them. The problem is that I see is that he's another third line center on a team chock full of third line centers. And you know if they eventually decide to make an upgrade at the center position, you know, who's going to be the odd man out? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're going to keep Jokinen, you know, or if they're going to keep Christensen and Drury and then get somebody else in place of Jokinen, or will they, are they thinking of resigning him? I have no idea. I haven't read anything. I mean, I don't know if what you guys know. Do they have any idea of what's going on with him? Are they going to try to sign him, or is it just basically, like we said, a rental? Maybe is there somebody else that's going to be a unrestricted free agent that we could go grab? I mean, I'm really not sure. I haven't been checking it out, so I wonder if you guys know anything.
I haven't heard anything about Jokinen, and I think they're I would say the chances of him coming back aren't great. I think he's going to want a lot more money than the Rangers are going to want to pay him or be able to pay him. I don't expect him to be back, but, you know, again, it's the Rangers, so you never
right.
know.
Did he go Fu Manchu-less yesterday? I thought
yes,
I saw him
shaved.
Clean shaven. Yeah,
yeah,
he shaved.
He looks even more like Homer Simpson now.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where now when I'm thinking what Jim had said, you know, where's Christensen going to fit in if, you know, the third line center? So if we don't have Jokinen and they're starting to play the games again, where they're going to have Dubinsky as number one and whoever, Drury at two, and you know what I mean? They might do that. With our luck, that's what's going to happen. But I'm hoping maybe we could swing a trade or do something to get a bona fide number one in there. I'd even keep Jokinen. If you can't trade for one or you don't have one in the system that's going to come up, I mean, try to sign the guy if you have the cap space. But I don't know if they're going to have the cap space. So Grachev, is he a centerman?
No, he's a winger.
He's a winger.
He's
okay,
a winger.
So I thought he was a winger.
But,
so,
you look at the glut they have at center. You've got Boyle, you got Anisimov, you got Dubinsky, Jokinen, Christensen, Drury. That's six centers right there.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
So you know. By net, you know, obviously, I don't know if I can't imagine Brian Boyle's going to be back next season either. But you know, you got to figure that at least Drury, Dubinsky, they'll be back. Anisimov, he'll be back. There's three centers
right
there. I mean, chances are that's your three centers, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as a guy like Christensen, where does he fit in? You're gonna You know, keep Mon as a fourth line center to play 4 minutes a night. I don't know. You know, so
I think he's better than that. I mean, from what I've seen, I think he's better than that. Like you say, like maybe the third line centerman. So I guess that going into summertime and the free agency and all of that is that they're going to have to sit down and basically figure out, you know, is Dubinsky going to be their number one guy? Do they have the faith and the trust in him to be a number one guy? We know Drew is not. So where do they go from there? You know, it's like, do they have anybody down in the mine? Is there somebody that they know they're gonna pull up that's gonna be able to at least, you know, be a number two? You know, maybe have a, you know, like we have Dubinsky and somebody behind him and throw Drury in the third line center spot. I mean, there's a lot of ways they could do it. I mean, depending on what's going on, I guess down in the minors or you know all their younger kids. And maybe they'll switch one of them guys like a Grachev who's a winger, maybe make him play center. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would try to get a kid like that up here because he was great in the preseason,
well,
and I'm
yeah,
sure he's doing well this whole season, got another year experience. And, you know, I mean, I'd give him a shot. I mean, if he's willing to do that, or maybe take one of our other wingers and try to switch into center. I mean, there's a lot of things that they could do, and, you know, they're the only ones that have the idea of what they're going to do, you know. So I guess that's what they'd be thinking if they don't have the cap space and they're not going to sign Jokinen, is bring somebody within their own system that they're going to use at center as a number one for next year.
Well, I think the organization as a whole, other than Derek Stepan, who's, you know, he's going to be coming, you know, 2005, I mean, 2015, 2014, whatever have you, they don't have much with center ice, and that's a position I think the Rangers are going to have to deal in order to get somebody.
Exactly.
And Grachev has struggled down in Hartford this year, and I had a discussion with a couple people, and I know this is, everybody says don't rush him, but, you know, could it hurt that Grachev comes up for the last 15, 20 games with the Rangers? I think one of the reasons he struggled is that the guy, I think, is as good as – I mean, you know, I've seen the guy a few times live, and I haven't seen – and I'm not an expert on him, but he's the kind of guy that I think would excel with good players around him. Now, your argument might be, listen, there ain't that many great players in the Rangers on the Rangers team, but he looked good. He should have made that team. He did everything to almost make the Ranger team in the preseason, and I think he should get a shot down the stretch. Let's just see what he can do against the big boys. You know,
yeah, I agree with you, Ed. I would say, I mean, why not bring him up towards the end here? You know, especially if we get, you know, if we get knocked out, you know, earlier than we're hoping, and, you know, they want to try to bring some guys up just to take a look at them, you know, if they're able, you know, to get them in there and see what they're all about. I mean, you know, I would give it a shot. I mean, next year, there's a lot of different ways they could go then. I mean, because they do have a lot of good young players, and we're stocked on defense when it comes to the younger guys. I mean, we could, like I say, we could trade a Girardi and a few other guys and maybe package a bunch of guys up for a number one, you know, from some other team. But, you know, that's, I guess, for the Ranger management to decide, I guess, with the way they're going to go. Because we know what they always do. We never have that strong number one center. And that's definitely something that's hurting us.
All right. There you go, James.
James, do you want to stay on hold? Or we're going to get some other calls on. We got Mike Zippo coming up.
Yeah, I'll stay on hold. No problem, guys.
All right, I'll put you back on hold for a little while, all right?
Okay, thanks, buddy.
All right. Eddie, you know, I think I understand what you're saying about Grotchev coming up for, you know, the last 15 games. The problem is that's a move you make when you're out of the race, and they're not out of the race, you know, and it would take a monumental collapse right now to really truly put them in a position where they're out. I mean, they only got 19 games left in the season, and, you know, we just read the numbers. They're right in the thick of it. You know, it would take, you know, they'd have to lose. I mean, they'd have to lose like the next seven in a row, God forbid, you know, for them to really be out of it, I think. You know, they've got Atlanta hanging around behind them. Tampa Bay's a couple points behind them. The Hempstead team is a couple points back. So, you know, they're still right in the thick of it, and I think I just think they're going to be right there until the end.
All right, there you go. I just think I guess my point is everybody's like the adjustment period. You know, I look at these other guys. You know, I think we sometimes coddle our prospects too much. You know, we don't bring them up. I guess maybe that's what drives me to want to see Grotchev and up here with the big club, but I guess it's more prudent to keep him down and let him suffer in Hartford. I mean, that's what I look at it. Hartford's so injury plagued this year. They just haven't been able to get anything going, and it's Hartford. You know, it's just the environment. You know, the environment to me, I think, would be better here, but yes, maybe it's more prudent to keep him down in the minors. So, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not too hot under the collar about it, but still I'd like to see him I'd like to see him up with some quality players. You know, he's got Corey Locke and, you know, whatever he's got down there. You know, he doesn't have, you know, even a guy like Jokinen or Christensen. So anyway, that's my take on it. But like I said, I'm not too hot about it.
Yeah. I just think that if you want to give him a stretch of games with the big club, they would have been better off doing that at the beginning of the season rather than at the end. That's just my thinking on it. All right, we got
Paulie D's making absolute. I got to call him out here. He did this just to bait me. Grotchev has been a bust. How could you say a bust? I mean, seriously, the guy's his first year in the AHL. Give it a break. Anyway, you got me
all
on
right.
That one.
We got Mike Zippo coming up in just about a minute or two. The call's on hold, 917-516-732. I know Dave from Blue Seat Blogs. I know you're one of the guys on hold. Just hang in there, guys. We're going to get Mike on, and then I promise we'll get to your calls, so just hang in there. Mike is going to be calling in about a minute, and I just don't want to put you guys on and then have to cut you off or put you back on hold. So just stay with us there for a second. We'll get to you guys in just a few minutes as we wait for Mike. And again, just to we'll preface by saying the Fire Seder Rally is this Sunday before the Rangers Sabres game. I believe it is from 5 to 7. Eddie's going to be down there, and we will be broadcasting live right here on Blue Shirt Banner Radio from 5 to 7. And we'll take your calls, and hopefully Eddie will be mixing up with some people down there and get them on the phone and get them to call in, and we'll talk to them . And I think it'll be I think that's going to be a lot of fun just to hear what people have to say and for you to be able to bring it to us. It's pretty cool. I appreciate you going down there and being the man on the scene.
Yeah.
Are you there? Oh.
I got caught.
He'll be there Sunday, but he's not there. He's not there now.
I was going at it with freaking Paulie. He's derailing me from my mission here. Yes, I will be on the scene. I will be filming. I may go down tomorrow and actually start filming at the actual place, you know, doing like a before and after thing for the Ranger Crisis show, and maybe we'll put it on Blue Shirt Banner. You know, this chat room, when it's so busy, I'm telling you. You know, and I see a lot of people talking about you, Jessamine, in here, and he gets mentioned every show in the chat room.
Yeah, he's the one constant. Hugh Jessamine and Chris Drury.
I promise you, folks, I'm going to get Hugh Jessamine in here next week or the week after that. All right? And we're going to talk to Hugh Jessamine. I'm going to say, listen, you, everybody mentioned you, Hugh Jessamine, and not in a good way. But no, I heard Hugh is a really nice guy, though. Everybody says he's a really, and I think I can get him in here. And I'm going to try to get Hugh Jessamine in here. And I want this. This Hugh Jessamine, listen, he didn't decide to come to the Rangers. They picked him. And the funny thing is, and I've said this before, and since we have a brand new spanking crowd here tonight, Hugh Jessamine, you know, he came from that hockey hotbed, Dartmouth, which, not really a lot of players come from Dartmouth, although I think Cary Wilson came from Dartmouth. But anyway, going back to my Dartmouth story, the Rangers, they're scouting Dartmouth, and they fall in love with Hugh Jessamine, and they make him their first-round pick, and the guy completely falls on his face. Then I'm reading up in that draft, I'm going, look, da-da-da-da-da. I said, look, I'm around the sixth round, I see another guy is taken from Dartmouth, and Lee Stepniak, who got traded today. This guy was traded, so the Rangers couldn't even draft the right guy on Dartmouth. Because Lee Stepniak has made at least an NHL career out of it. But, of course, we take the guy who never plays an NHL game. So it just goes to show you, our scouts don't know their proverbial tuckuses from a hole in the wall. That's my judgment, man. I'm getting you in here.
They don't know their puck from Sputnik.
They don't know their puck from Sputnik. Yes, exactly. So,
all right.
What do you got?
Without further ado, let's welcome in our good friend, Mike Zippo, the organizer of the Glenn Sather Rally taking place this Sunday. Mike, good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Nice to have you back with us again.
Nice to be with you guys. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good.
We're doing good. So give us the latest. What's the latest?
All right. Well, I'm going to be picking up all the permits on Friday and talking with my detective friend down there at Midtown South. That's right around the corner. And we just picked up our megaphone today, and that's pretty much where we stand. We're all good to go for Sunday.
All right, good. Now, there seemed to be a little confusion between Eddie and I. I was under the impression it's from 5 to 7. Eddie's under the impression it's from 5 to 6. Can you clarify that for us?
It's from 5 to 6.
Okay.
Because I figured at that time we're going to pretty much march inside. Well, not march inside, but we'll all go inside and
we're marching.
I think you should march inside. I think you should be like what's that bridge over the River Kwai, whistling that song, and Breakfast Club. Well, they whistle
that
song, and you go in en masse.
Yeah, all 500, 600 of us, whoever's showing up. So from 5 to 6, and
I just want to say, because when you guys said the bridge over the River Kwai, I kind of envision now, I don't know how many sci-fi fans are out there, but you know the Planet of the Apes, that you know the movie series, not the TV series, but the movie series, with one of the later ones when they retake, they overtake the humans, and it's the one with Caesar and Ricardo Montalban's in it, and at the end it says, there's fire and there's all kinds of craziness, and then Caesar says, "Welcome to the new Planet of the Apes," and everybody goes crazy. That's what I think it's going to be like.
That would be nice. I mean, I'm not familiar with that, so I don't, you know, I haven't seen it before, but.
But yeah, I like what Zippo's like. You're out of your head, Eddie. You don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah,
I like how you quoted a line from like not only one of the worst movies of all time, but one of the worst in the Planet of the Apes movies.
Hey, listen, The only bad Planet of the Apes is that Battle of the Planet of the Apes, which was, I think, the last one. That was bad. The rest of them all have their corny moments, and except that Tim Burton Planet of the Apes was horrible. That was disgusting. That should have been never made. Anyway, I digress.
Coming up next week on the show, Tim Burton. All right. So anyway, let's are we going to talk about hockey here or what?
Yeah, well, that's why I want to talk to him.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Now, is there going to be an official, like, what we should do at the Rangers rally kind of announcement? Like, you know, should we bring signs? Should we?
Yes, definitely. Well, we have a couple signs made up now. We're going to make a couple more, but I would definitely bring signs. We're going to have a statement that we're going to give out to any media that shows up. We're trying to get in contact with more people in the media right now in these last couple of days. So we're going to read the statement. You know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, there's a good, you know, group of us that are organizing this thing. You know, if anybody else has anything to say, obviously I'm going to let them have the chance to talk. You know, and, you know, we'll lead some fire, say the chance, stuff like that. But, you know, just along the lines of that, I mean, I watched a video from the Knicks rally from a couple of years ago, and there's a couple on YouTube. So that's pretty much what it's going to be like.
All right. Okay.
Now, have you heard it from any other media outlets besides, besides us? I know you're
Marcy,
in contact with the Beats and everything, but
right. Well, Marcy is got us an article in the Star Ledger for Friday, and we're working on contact. You know, that'll be nice to have that. And then we're still trying to contact a bunch of people. We haven't heard back from a lot, but we're working on it. I think we still have a couple more days to go. So
that's pretty impressive to get into the Star Ledger, because they don't even have a Ranger beat writer anymore.
Oh, well, thank God she has an in over there.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
Well, good job by Marcy Braverman starting this uprising of Ranger faithful. Is there going to be any prizes awarded for maybe like really good inventive chants about Seva or something like that?
I haven't thought of that, but maybe the prize is you don't have to go to the game that night. That would be a good one.
Oh, come on. I'll buy anybody a beer that comes whoever free drinks to anyone who comes up with the best Fire Sather bass chant at Stout. That's my bounty I put on the Ranger fan. Come up with a good Fire Sather. Yeah, that's a great chant. Very inventive. Very creative. The creative folks. Fire Rennie. I like that one. That one's a good one. Yeah, come up with something. You know, like Mr. Magoo, nope. You gotta go. I don't know. I'm losing it. I'm going goofy here.
Someone should make up those face signs like you see on Pardon the Interruption with Sather's face, and you know, you can hand out cigars and everybody can wave those things in front of their face. Cigar.
Good idea too. That's a good idea too.
How funny would that be? A thousand people or whatever marching in a Madison Square Garden with those masks in front of their face.
And with cigars?
It would be like an Airplane 2 when the stewardess says you'll notice a slight change in conditions or something like that, and they all look like Richard Nixon. Anyway.
Good.
Well, yeah, I'm a thinker.
You're a thinker, I'll tell you. You are the brains of this operation. Now, you know, okay, so we got that.
Sather hates the fans. He ruined this team and takes it in the can.
You've earned yourself a free drink at Stout, courtesy of the Ballast.
That's a good one.
Sather hates the fans. He ruined this team and takes it in the can. Well, the meter's a little bit off, but I get the point.
Wow.
And I tell you, hardcore audience in here.
Oh, yeah. So you've got a good group in the chat room here tonight.
The chat room's
rocking.
Rocking.
Yeah, and
people in there tonight.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, the Ranger fans, we're all behind this. It's just something for everybody to get involved with and have a voice. And I applaud it, you know, Mike. You know, it's, you know, I've talked about it before with you, but it's just so great that you see it through just basically social networking, how this show has become so successful and how your you know, your thing, you know, your event has just turned into snowballed. And it'll be great. It'll be great to see some familiar faces, you know, out at the rally, and then maybe we'll all get on TV too. That'll be a bonus.
How many people are you up to on the Facebook page that have confirmed that they will be there?
Give me one second. I see 1,221 right now.
Now, see, I would think that even if you get a quarter of that, that's a nice number. If you get 300 people standing out on that street corner, I think that'll be great.
Because when I started this whole thing, if we got 100 people out there, I would have been happy. But you know, so many people are behind it, and just the support for it, and everything like that. It's been great so far, and hopefully we get a good turnout on Sunday. It looks like the weather's going to be good, so I'm hoping that we get a nice turnout.
And are there any list of rules that we should have to obey? I mean, you know, are you going to say, listen, guys, don't get too out of hand? Is there going to be rules? Are we going to be get that megaphone in your hand?
There's not going to be really many rules. Just the one thing is, I just don't want people to be, cursing at their mother, especially if somebody has a megaphone. I don't want any chance with pretty much derogatory comments and stuff like that.
You don't want vulgarity
exactly.
And all that stuff.
And,
keep it G-rated, but keep it funny.
Yeah.
Lighthearted.
Get out there and be loud and have fun, but we just got to try and be as professional as we can about it. And another thing is, I made a point to this to people that are organizing the rally with me, is just that instead, I don't want to try and take a shot at like the players and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
This isn't about them and them not living up to their contracts and stuff like that. It's just about the guy who handed them the contracts and everything. So just try not to single out the players and point the blame at them and stuff like that. So basically, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with you. Let's not, let's not make the, I don't think how it could turn into a serious event with some of the characters that I know are participating in this. But I mean, let's make it a lighthearted, but also make a statement. I think that's your pretty much the direction, right?
That's,
I mean,
that's the point. And, I'm going to throw the link for the petition in here again. Once I get off the air, and we're up to 830 people signing that. And if you guys are listening right now, if you guys could, I know most of you have probably already signed it, but if you guys could sign that and email it to any Ranger fans you know, tell them to email it to any Ranger fans they know. I want to try and get that way over 1,000 people, because I want to mail that to Rangers office, the front office, and I want to mail it to Jim Dolan himself. So everybody in the chat room, try and find that and spread the word about that, and let's get that over 1,000 people, and that would be nice.
Yeah, that would be great. I think with the people filtering into for the game, they're going to be like, what's this? And then once they see us, they're going to be like, I want to be a part of this too.
And that's what we're hoping for. So I know that somebody had gotten into contact with me. They're going to be handing out flyers tomorrow night. In a couple sections up in the blue seats about the rally. So hopefully there's some chatter about it tomorrow night at the game. I know I'll be there talking to everybody in my section and my dad's section. We have some other people coming down to do some video work about it and stuff like that. So, it's looking good so far. Just hopefully we can get some more members of the press out there and everything like that.
Yeah, and Alex Calabrese just said that we should get ABC down there because they're fighting over Dolan for Channel 7 now and payment.
Right. And I know, I think DB Maven, the last time I was on, said something about getting in touch with Time Warner also, and we're gonna try and get in contact with them too, because anytime they want to see Cablevision look stupid, they would obviously try to do that. So. Just gotta keep on,
keep on calling these people and emailing these people, and hopefully they'll come out and film this and get a press for this.
Yeah, I it's funny. I everybody I meet that I know that they're not internet savvy. They don't know about it. They go, "This is a great idea. When is this?" And I'm like, I tell them, but then again, they think I'm a little bit weird that I'm actually going to this. You know, really. But you know, then again, listen. You know, it sounds like something fun, and I mean, bottom line is, I think Ranger fan has been ignored too long, and I feel, and I've said this before, they're a little bit too arrogant over there. And maybe if they actually see some Ranger fans showing a little displeasure, maybe something will happen. Maybe. I don't know. If it doesn't, again, it's still good for us. And what's good for us, that's good for everybody, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and I know, and we've talked about it before, about you know, them not accepting the social media like you guys. And I read Greg Caggiano's article the other day about the Chad Johnson interview. That was just ridiculous. I mean, these guys, they got to be more open to, you know, the social media and stuff like that. I mean, it's just absurd.
Yeah,
ridiculous, ridiculous, but not surprising.
I mean,
I don't have to tell you, Mike. I mean, there's plenty of NHL teams have opened themselves up and have had great success with dealing with the new media.
I was just going to mention the Capitals. A bunch of teams have set aside, you know, a little room in their press box or created another area for just bloggers to go in and then type up their own stories. And I don't see why it's a bad idea. I mean,
there's
a following on the internet. Yeah, I know they can't control, but there's another following on the internet as a team. I don't know why that would be a negative so much. So,
you know, the ironic part about it is that the NHL, for the most part, has embraced, you know, social media. They're all over Twitter. They're all over the blogs. Our site and all the SB Nation sites are featured pretty prominently at times on NHL.com. They're big into Facebook. They credentialed a lot of bloggers for the draft last year. I was one of them. And you know, most of the bloggers that showed up were 10 times more professional and dressed appropriately and you know, behaved appropriately, more so than some of the reporters we saw. And you know, the NHL has embraced it, but you know, still the Rangers have not. And
the Kremlin
eventually,
the Kremlin.
It's, yeah,
it,
you know,
we go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would just want to finish. There's eventually they will have to change their way of thinking. You know, there's just going to be no other way around it. The newspapers are dying. We can all see it on a daily basis, and we see the shift in the focus of where people go to get their information. They go to sites like ours and like Blue Seat Blogs and all the other great Ranger blogs that are out there. And there's a ton of them. I mean, it's not just us. There's a lot of good Ranger blogs out there. I read a lot of them. But, you know, they're eventually going to have to come around, because those are the places where fans are going to go to get their information, because it's becoming the only place to go to get your information. I mean, you know, we have stories every day, and a lot of other sites have stories every day. And, you know, the beat writers, they cover the teams, but, you know, a lot of your local newspapers aren't covering the Rangers on a daily basis. You know, WFAN, they don't talk about the Rangers. I don't think ESPN 1050 does. You know, it's a shift, and the Rangers are reluctant and unwilling. And I don't know, maybe they think they're going to survive, you know, maybe they'll think they're going to survive through this, or it's just a fad, but eventually they'll have to come around.
It's here to stay, and I think it's great. You know, I read, there's a ton of blogs, and they give a lot more information than sometimes the beat guys do.
What it is because I just think the beat writers, they have the advantage of going to the practices, and they get a nice seat at the games. Big deal. The majority of guys writing blogs either go to a lot of Ranger games, and you're allowed to say what you feel. And I think a lot of these guys, they're, you know, Larry Brooks, whether you like him or hate him, he's kind of, you know, he's worn out his welcome saying what he feels. I mean, if we said half what we say here, we would be persona non grata at the Garden.
Yeah.
But I think it's better to be detached from that and give your opinion, because the fans know when they're getting hosed and when the BS is being thrown at them. The fans want to come and see the real stuff and hear the real deal. So you're right. And I think the only time that's going to happen is when all these dinosaurs are out and you get some young people in that organization that realize the internet is the way to go. The papers are dead now. I mean, if you want up to date information, you know, my cousins who don't have the internet, you know, believe it or not, I have cousins. Believe it or not, they don't have the internet. they're not hillbilly cousins, but they're not going to find out about, you know, the incredible Newberry deal until tomorrow, probably, you know, when they read in the paper, because they're not, it's not like they're going to have it on Channel 7, you know, news.
Not even
going to
be in the paper.
Right. So, you know,
it's going to be like it never happened.
Maybe that might be a good thing. So, Mike, I applaud you for everything. I can't wait to meet you Sunday and hang out with you, and we'll have a lot of fun.
Well, Eddie, we're going to be the organizers are going to be down there pretty early. If you want to come by and have a drink with us and I guess do an interview or whatever and come out to eat with us.
Yeah,
so,
sure. I'll talk to you through Facebook.
Yeah, definitely. I was just going to say that. We'll talk through Facebook. Just before I get off the air here, because I know you guys got a couple more calls that you guys want to get to, but you know, anybody that's listening right now, if you guys know anybody in the media, anybody that we can get a hold of or you can get a hold of to get some more press for this and stuff like that, let me know. Give them a call. Do something. Let's get the word out. Let's get more press there. Let's get more people there, and let's make this thing a big success. So I guess that's it for me. Eddie, I'll see you Sunday. Jim, I'll probably be talking to you on Sunday too. So.
Yes, absolutely. And Mike, we appreciate you coming on, and I wish you the best of luck on Sunday. I hope it all goes well, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. So I'll talk to you guys on Sunday.
All right. Thanks,
take
Mike.
Take care, Mike. Best of luck.
Take it easy, guys. Thanks for having me on.
See ya. Anytime. Bye.
Anytime. The great Mike Zippo. I'm glad I'm psyched. Now I'm all revved up.
There you go. All right. Yeah, just if you guys, any of you guys out there that are listening, if you're on Twitter, I know a lot of you are on Facebook, make sure you're sending this out to Ranger fans and let them know that if they're going to the game on Sunday, that they can take part and be a part of it if they want to, you know, hang out with a lot of Ranger fans and share their opinion. And if they're not going, make sure you send them here and they can listen to the whole thing right here live. We'll be on the air. Just a quick schedule update here. I know I had said at the beginning of the show that we would actually go into podcast at the end of 2 hours. That is not true. Blog Talk Radio has given us an extra hour tonight, so we will actually be on live for another hour and 7 minutes, Eddie. You going to make
it? I'm out of here at 10 o'clock. I mean, unless we got phone calls up the wazoo. I mean,
we got a lot of phone calls.
All right, well, let's get to them. Let's get down to business. Let's get down to beeswax. What do people want to talk about? Go ahead.
Yes, just to let you know, no podcast. We'll be on live for another hour, and then when it's over, it's over. We shut the studio down. So let's get back to the phone calls. Let's go to 917-887. Thank you for holding for a while. I know you've been holding for a little bit. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
It's me again, Zach.
Zach.
Hey, Zach, how are you?
Good evening.
Welcome to the show. Doing good. What's going on?
Well, I have a lot to say, so I'll just try to make it as quick as possible. First off, congrats to Team USA on one terrific run in the Olympics. I guess congrats to Canada, although the fans are, I don't like them anymore. What else? Last night's game was amazing. I am embracing this three-game winning streak. I don't care how terrible we've been. I don't care how inconsistent we've been. I'm enjoying it. Enjoying it while it lasts. What else? Eric Christensen, he's good when he's paired up with Gabrick. Just before the Olympic break, he was actually doing a wonderful job getting the puck to Gabrick and getting some goals in. I liked it. It was good. What else? Callahan, for those fans who are saying that he is overrated, you are wrong. He is the best, one of the best players. He's the kind of player that everybody would want to have. And as soon as he leaves the Rangers, whenever that will be, I will be sorely upset. But, you know, that's life. I got to deal with it. But Callahan is definitely not one of those high goal scorers that we want him to be. But for what he's doing, for what Paulie D said, he is at his peak, and he's, you know, whatever Paulie said, I agree with him, except for trying to trade him off at the trading deadline.
All right, so, all right, well, let me try and absorb all of that. Let me ask you this. You talk about Callahan, and he had, what was his number? 22 goals last year. It looks like he's gonna have to, he'll probably get somewhere around that this year. Do you think is that about what you expect from Callahan? Do you think he's better than that? I got to be honest with you. I thought coming into the season he'd score 30 goals.
Season's not over yet. He's got 17 goals right now, about, 19 games left. Maybe he won't reach 30, but he'll definitely break 20.
Okay. But he had 22 last year. Is that his level, or do you think he's better than that? Is what I'm trying to ask.
He's probably better than that. I'll give you that much. But I don't know. I don't think we really expect that from him nowadays. After what we've seen him do for the Rangers.
Okay. All right. We got. Hang on one second. Let me just. I'm just pulling up some numbers here. Okay, so 19 games to go. I think he'll match what he came up with last year. He may get a couple extra, but you know he's always been kind of a streaky player. So it's just a matter of maybe he's getting into one of those little hot streaks now, and he's probably coming riding high off the Olympics because he did play well. So I hope you're right. I like Ryan Callahan. I was hoping the Rangers wouldn't trade him, although I wasn't above trading anybody on this team if they can make the team better. But I'm glad he's still here. I like him. I just don't think I'm concerned that maybe he's not going to be the player I thought he would be. Eddie, what do you think about Callahan?
I like, Ryan brings such intangibles to the team, and we love, he's a streaky goal scorer. But, you'd like to see him pump in 30. I mean, and I don't know if he's going to do that in the future, but he's still young. We got to remember, this guy is not an old guy. Maybe it takes a little bit longer. Some guys don't hit their stride. You talk about some guys like Mike Knuble, who the Rangers had and got rid of, a guy that hit his stride late. We got rid of a Mark Savard, who is young, and then he turned out to be do very well. Sometimes the players are on a different timeline. Now, is he a top three player, a first line player? I don't think so. I think he's a good. He's definitely a second line player, just from his effort alone. And he's so great on the penalty kill. You'd like to see him more score more, but if he gets hot now, coming off that Olympic bounce, that's going to help the Rangers tremendously. So. I'm up on Callahan and Doobie. When I came in down to brass tacks and I thought about Doobie leaving the Rangers, I said, you know what? If I keep Doobie in context, which I do, I don't tend to go too overboard with him as far as thinking he's going to be. I think he's a second line player, maybe third line player. I think because we have a lack of talent and we do kind of overrate our youth just because they're young and we're not used to it, that we get a little crazy with Dubinsky and overrate him a bit. But he's a good player. But the Rangers definitely need horses. I don't think either one of those guys are horses. Gavrik's a horse. We need a couple more horses, and those guys fit in nicely once you have a couple horses up front.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a good point.
Dubinsky, he's still learning. If he does get traded to another team, I'm sure he'll either do terrible, he'll be the same, or he will do better. I think he still has a lot more potential. He needs the right players around him. And if that means trading him to another team, then fine. I like Dubinsky, and I'll miss him as well when he gets traded. I don't want to trade him to Phoenix. That's like a dumping ground for the Rangers now.
Right. Yeah. Well, now, you know, I'm just looking now that the trading deadline is gone, all the speculation and stuff has happened. I just want to get back to Ranger business, and let's hope we get some good, strong finishes and give us some kind of hope. I mean, some kind of, like, hey, maybe they can steal a series. Right now,
I just want to be able to enjoy the rest of the season. You know, you're right, the trading deadline came and went, whatever happened, happened. I just want to have some fun with hockey. And what's really grinding my gears is there are a lot, and I mean a lot, of Ranger fans that are taking this way too seriously. I don't mean to knock on you guys. I think you guys do a great job. But there are some fans that, you know, it's just impossible to deal with. I just want to enjoy the game, whether the Rangers make it in the playoffs or not this season, whatever, you hope for the best next year. But there are some fans that take this way too seriously that I'm afraid they're about to have an aneurysm. And when I watched the Olympics, I felt great. I felt relieved just watching all that hockey, all those players, all those countries playing. It was great. And this Saturday, I'm going to Long Island. I'm going to meet up with Bruins fans. I'm going to see the Bruins-Islanders game, and I'm just going to have some fun. That's what we need.
There you
wow.
go. Make sure you say hello to all our fans at Nassau Coliseum. They love
yeah,
us.
Yes. Say hello to the Islander, the Fish Girls. All
we'll
right.
We'll spit at them again.
Make sure you tip Brian Trottier well when you buy a beer from him, Zach.
Yeah. we'll
say hello to the Islander Fish Girls.
Yeah, and Eddie, I'll see you on Sunday, all right?
All right. Take care, my friend, Zach.
All right,
yeah.
Zach. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Take it easy.
Later.
All right.
That was the great Zach. Never at a loss for words.
A young go-getter. I like the cut of his jib.
All right. You ready for more phone calls?
Bring it on. I'm ready.
All right. We got Dave from Blue Seat Blogs on the air. Dave, welcome to the program. How are you?
How you doing, Jim? How you doing, Eddie?
How
good.
Are you, Dan?
Good.
How's it going? Dave, I mean.
Dave.
Wow, you're really dropping the ball with me today, Eddie.
I don't know what's going on. My mind is jelly after all this talk and all this speculation, so I appreciate, I apologize, Dave. That's what I'm trying to say.
Over in the U.S. hockey, so, I mean, sim it down a little bit.
Sim it down now. So what's going on, Dave, in your neck of the woods? What are you bringing to the table to Blue Shirt Banner Radio tonight?
Well, in terms of center depth, first off, Brian Boyle is signed for next year. He's going to be a Ranger next year. He makes 520. At least makes the league minimum. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
Erik Christensen makes $750K this year. I have CapGeek open, so that's where I'm getting these numbers from. He's a restricted free agent. The Rangers are not re-signing Jokinen, and Prospel is going to get $3 million or $4 million from some stupid team, probably out west, probably Edmonton. And, you know, they're going to need centers. Christensen's not going to get a raise. He doesn't have the numbers for it. He's going to get $750K again, maybe $850, you know, max $900. So I see him back next year. And
well, yeah, I just want to interject. Eric, I think, looks at this as an opportunity, one of his last opportunities, to really hook up with an NHL club. He's had a little bit of a confidence problem. That seems to be the deal with him, that and I think he's regained a little bit with the Rangers, and I think he wants some kind of consistency. So I think he's a guy who's going to say, I'd like to stay here, and I think at what he's being paid, he probably will stay, and I agree with you there.
Yeah. Hey, we agree. That's a first.
All right, I'll see. You know, Bob, I got to tell you, we agree again, Bobby. I'm only kidding. I know it's Dave.
Thanks.
So, yeah, we agree.
And I think I have earned the right to explain the Stout story.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Of course.
Little background information. You know, I played college hockey, so I can drink. So, and I can drink.
Okay.
So, you know, I work audit busy season. It's very stressful. And when we have a day off, we party very hard. So we got up at 3 o'clock. We went to Stout. Spent about, between 8 of us, $1,000 of Kettle One in an hour.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And, you know, we were being loud and rowdy. Keep in mind, the manager's about 40, and he was the one buying us all the shots. So, you know, we all got thrown, legitimately thrown out, even after spending $1,000. And then we just went to
Buffalo. Wow.
and then you went where?
To Brother Jimmy's.
Oh, okay. And spent another $1,000 there?
When I figure it out, I will let you know.
So are you allowed, are you banned from Stout, or were you just tossed that particular day?
We were just tossed for that particular day.
Oh, okay. All right. So if you see Dave on Sunday, Eddie, you can take him over to Stout. It's safe to go in there with him.
Well, apparently Eddie's going to see me tomorrow at the game. You said you're going to stop by in between the second and the third, right?
Yeah, you're going to be in section 4. Four fifteen, and then somebody's in 420. I'm trying to straighten it out right now.
Wasn't that Mike Zippo was in 20?
Yeah, Mike Zippo might be in 420.
Mike, you in the chat anymore?
No, I don't know, but I'm going to make it up there.
He's still in the chat.
Yeah, you'll see me up there banting around. I wanted to talk to somebody. What's that? Beyond Blue Shirt is going to be there. She's not in the chat room, or he is not in the chat room. We're going to have a Brochev discussion. Yeah, Lori. Does anybody know what? Yeah. You know what? She wears a Pruka jersey. You know what section she's going to be in? I got to write this. I got to take a meet and greet here.
I'm the one wearing
it.
Zippo's in 420.
Yeah, Zippo's in 420, and I'm the one wearing the Pruka jersey.
Okay.
You're
wearing the Pruka. Yeah, my hat. I'm old. I got to write this down.
And Newman, John Newman's in section 414. Everybody's chiming in with their sections here. You're going to be busy
John
tomorrow
Newman.
Night. I hope you have time to watch the game.
Oh, come on. They'll be losing 5-0 by then. But anyway.
Where's the optimism?
I'm only kidding. And then they got Marcy Braverman in 301. Holy cow. I'll holla at you, girl. What did she say? Holla at your girl, man.
Holla at your girl.
Well, don't worry. I do a lot of hollering at everybody. I'll be hollering at that girl, Sidney Crosby. You'll be hearing me all over the place. And
Marcy, I'll yell at you on the TV, over the TV.
Yeah, and Marcy, I don't know, man. Yeah, I read about you in this chat room. You're fighting with girls. There's cat fights. There's all kinds of things. I'll be able to notice your section right away as people are breaking the fights up. But, all right, so I got everybody sifting down, and you see me probably wearing my uniform, my green jacket, and my Rangers hockey hat, and, you know, you guys know what I look like. Come on, I'm all over the internet. Go to rangercrisis.com, you'll find out what the hell I look like. So you'll see me, and you'll say, hey, Mouth, what about Peter Mueller? I thought you said he was coming for Chris Higgins. Meanwhile, they had to give a Vojtěch Volsky to get him. So you can whatever. But I hope I get to meet everybody.
Who Kevin Porter is, but you know that's just a fleecing. I can't believe they got Volsky for Mueller.
Yeah, I mean this is a proven guy. I know Volsky's been struggling a little bit, lately. But he's having a pretty good year. He might even be having a career year. It does seem like if there was a fleecing, it was that, you know. But that's a good point. I wish the Rangers could have gotten a guy like Volsky. I mean, isn't he a center too, or is he a winger, Volsky? I'm not sure on that.
Volsky
no,
is a left.
So anyway, that's the way it looks. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. And was there any guy you were thinking that you wanted and it didn't come to fruition, Dave, that you would have liked to see?
nobody really interested me at this deadline. I was, when you were asking that before, I was really thinking about it. You know, the Rangers made their deal before the Olympics to get Jokinen, and, you know, they traded a terrible contract in Kotalik to get him. And that's good enough for me. You know, they have enough cap room next year to hopefully re-sign, you know, the people they need. They're not going to be a cup contender next year, a couple years away still. But, you know, they took a step in the right direction at least.
Yeah, I got to agree with that.
I do have one question. It came up in the chat room earlier. Did the Rangers really trade Marek Zidlicky for Mike Dunham?
Yeah, he was a throw-in in the Mike Dunham trade. Yeah, that one I got over that about 4 years ago. That's the power play guy. You want to talk about a guy who could have engineered your power play for a while, that's the guy. I mean, that's there would have probably been no Wayne Redden if it wasn't for Marek Zidlicky, who's a great guy to have on a power play. I mean, he's been doing it for years.
Well,
he's
don't
like,
get me
Sergei.
All right, I wanted Strike from day one, and nobody listened to me.
And he's turned out to be, I mean, anybody who can succeed in Hempstead, you gotta give, big props to. I mean, Stride has proven that he can play in his league, and he was a horse in the Olympics. He was playing crazy minutes.
Stride's solid. He was playing 25 minutes a game in his last season in Montreal. And, you know, we got the two of the most expensive free agents in Redden and Rosenthal.
Yeah.
And we passed on Strike, the best one out of that crew.
I just want to say, this is a cue to my my compadre. We targeted Wade Redden immediately. You get that cue there, Jimmy?
This is Kevin Greenstein from the New York Sun. Glenn, just wanted to get your sense on Wade Redden, what he's going to add to the Rangers' blue line core, and what you're thinking moving forward with regard to the defense.
Hello, hello.
Well, he's an experienced defenseman. He's been an all-star twice in the league. He's, in our opinion, the best first passer in the game today. He moves the puck up exceptionally. He's somebody that we had targeted immediately. He was our number one guy in defense. You know, as well as Roosevelt. We wanted to get them both signed, and we did. And we're quite happy that we've got them. And we think that it's going to help move the puck to the forwards as well as anybody in the league today.
Now you know how I was saying, last week that this is becoming our Gary tape, right? And every time you listen to, every time I listen to it, it's like watching Naked Gun or Airplane or something where you always find something you missed. When he says he was our number one guy, and I just picture, all I can picture is, remember in Batman with Jack Palance and Jack Nicholson, you are my number one guy. You are my number one guy. I mean, I just picture Sather just running and holding him by the shoulders. Remember, Wade, you are my number one guy.
Jesus. What?
Hello, hello.
What? Hello, hello. With the Aaron Vora, you know, with him getting waived, why don't you play that one, the Five Jokers one? That's another one I think.
New York Rangers have agreed to terms with Aaron Voros, Patrick Rismiller, Steve Valiquette, Michael Roosevelt, and Wade Redden.
Right.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, you're my God.
Five worst guys. Holy cow. The building blocks.
What happened?
I love those clips. Those clips are just priceless. I mean, they really are.
Dave, what did you want to say?
What happened to Rismiller? He got signed and then he died. What happened to him?
He got shipped to another. He was on some other AHL team. I think they acquired him, or he's not in the Rangers organization anymore. Man, could you get? I mean, if we didn't laugh at this stuff, we'd be crying. You can get five more dopes to have a press conference together, unless it was Newberry, Erickson, and you know, whatever, you know, Leeson. I mean, really, five guys.
I don't even know. I don't even know if Rich Miller's still in hockey. I mean, there's like no news on him or anything. I don't even know if he's still. I mean, he might not even be playing hockey anymore. There's no update on him on Hockey Reference, which is where I usually go for info. There's the last thing they have on him is with the Rangers.
And what about Tyler Arneson? He fell off the face of the earth too.
Another he went to awesome. The KHL?
He's in the KHL or Europe. He's another guy, $1 million man. That
well,
was the most.
But he succeeds in the KHL. Marcel Hoss is the leading scorer.
If I'm not mistaken. Arneson, I may be wrong on this, but I think the story was that Arneson's agent contacted the KHL to see if they would be interested in signing him. The Rangers got word of it, got pissed, released Arneson, and he went to the KHL. And if I'm wrong about that story, somebody in the chat room, will correct me.
Yeah, Rich Miller went to Grand Rapids.
Rapids Griffin.
The aforementioned.
Anyway. That clip never gets funny. I mean, we should play that. You know, get Mike Zippo to play that clip over and over. The rally.
Yeah, I mean, it's basis enough. So, anyway, all right, anything else, Dave?
No, that's it. Can you play that Five Guys clip one more time?
I sure can. Hey, we aim to please. Here you go.
Awesome.
And we
New York Rangers have agreed to terms with Aaron Voros, Patrick Rissmiller, Steve Valiquette, Michael Roosevelt, and Wade Redden.
Cry havoc, and let's foot the dogs of war.
All right, Dave. Thanks for calling in, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All righty. Sounds good. See you tomorrow, Eddie.
Take care, Dave.
Bye.
All right, there
Boy,
you go.
Eddie, you are going to be busy tomorrow night.
I hope I can get up there, but the guy I'm going with, he got up to see me when I was in the 400, so I hope I can I'll have to talk to him so I can maneuverate up there.
Just mention you're with Blue Shirt Band and watch the doors open for you.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'd just say that, and people would be like, oh, you're that idiot, and then they would punch me in the face.
Glory.
All right, let's take another call. I don't know. 732-850, you are on Blue Shirt Band of Radio. Who's this?
Hey, guys, it's Mike from New Jersey.
Hey, Mike, how
New
are
Jersey.
You?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. Is this your first time calling in?
Yeah, I called it. I want to see what your thoughts were about the Rangers not making a move today. I thought they maybe would have got Nathan Horton or David Booth.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think Ranger fans were in consensus that we wanted to see Nathan Horton here. Booth, if I'm correct, he's coming off a concussion, right? Or he was,
yeah.
I think.
Well, he got that elbow by Richards in the head.
Right, that's right, yeah. I don't know. What's your feeling on it? I mean, would you if were to get a Nathan Horton, would you be willing to give up a Dubinsky to get a Nathan Horton straight up?
Well, I mean, I would have given up Girardi because I don't think he's been playing his greatest. Dubinsky maybe, but he played a really good game last night. I don't know. And maybe a second round or a third round draft pick. But, I mean, I like Doobie, but Horton, he has, I think, 17 goals this season and 20-something assists. Booth's only played, I think, 16 games, and he only has about 2 goals. So he's coming off a concussion. But, I mean, I might have liked him to see at least make a move. I mean, the 2 guys that they got were both minor leaguers, and it kind of disappointed me.
Mike, the one thing you got to keep in mind about Horton is that there's been a lot of question about his work ethic. Not a guy known for working hard every night. And I'm sure you've noticed by now, we've already got enough guys that don't work hard every night. And we've got a coach that's throwing his hands up at this team for not working hard every night. So that might have played into, you know, why they didn't wind up, you know, getting Nathan Horton and Booth, you know, with the injury, and Booth hasn't been, you know, he hasn't played much this year. So, you know, the more I think about it, I originally was on the David Booth train. The more I thought about it, I thought that's probably not a great deal for them. Same goes for Horton. I was a little disappointed that they did nothing, but at this point, there's nothing we can do about it except hope that it gets better.
Yeah, you're right. I also just have one more quick thing. I also heard a rumor yesterday that they almost got David Backus from the Blues.
I like that guy. I would have.
I didn't hear that.
Taken him. I heard a little bit about that. Yeah, a little bit of a rumor.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. And I mean, I was looking at his stats, and I think 2 years ago we scored like 40 something goals, which surprised me. So, if the Rangers would have got him, that might have helped us on offense and putting him with Gabbert.
Well, it's true. I mean, they're guys that. We definitely need some guys to surround Gabrick. I mean, that's for sure. But, if me and Jim have said one thing here is that, and I think you'll agree with this, is people don't come to the Rangers to get fixed.
Mm-hmm.
If we say, a guy, he did this in another organization, then he kind of flops, and say, you know what, he could regain his game here in New York. It's 99.9% that doesn't work. So, but I... Go ahead.
No, I was just laughing.
Yeah. Okay. So that's my take on that. And it's good that the rumors were flying. I was all excited like you were for the trade, something going down, and then nothing happened. And really, league wise, like I mentioned at the top of the broadcast, a lot of teams, were a little bit disappointed that there were no moves. I know the Canadian fans are up in arms because they really wanted to see a move made with their team. Nothing happened. Vancouver really wasn't into the trading too much. And so I was disappointed like you were that nothing went down. But then, I feel like Jim, and in another way, I'm relieved that nothing stupid went down, If they would have given up, a prospect like McDonough, or Grachev, or somebody even tweeted Anisimov, and then I got really annoyed because if they would have traded like Anisimov for a Nathan Horton and whatever, I would have been annoyed. I mean, what I'm saying? I didn't want to see any of the young guys go, so I'm glad they didn't do anything stupid. So that's the upside for me.
Yeah, I agree with you because, Fader's a nutcase, and I thought he was going to make a very stupid move today, which I'm happy he didn't.
Yeah, so I mean, we got to look at the bright side there. Plus, we're running the winning streak here, and if we beat Pittsburgh tomorrow,
I'm very excited about the winning streak.
Did you watch the game yesterday? Those were some nice goals in the second period. I'm telling you, I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the goal with Avery when Leeson used his speed down the wing, that goal impressed me. Was Leeson using his speed?
Yeah, and I was saying, this is a guy who was put on waivers. When he scored that, I was saying, and he's still giving 100% because, basically he's been, being told he's not really wanted here. And he comes out, he doesn't know if he's going to be traded today. And he comes out, he shows his speed, he gets that puck to Avery, a great pass, and Avery really celebrated. Did you see when he pumped and he did that pump? He was really excited. I think he really has something against, in Canada – all eyes are on him, with the Phaneuf incident and everything in Canada. And he was super jazzed after that goal. He was pumping his fist like he was in the Olympics.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, so that was the Rangers are a good victory. And again, without Gabrick and MDZ, I'm going to try to be the optimist at least here for a couple more games. Well, I'm going to the game tomorrow, so I'll probably be in the dumps by Friday, but still. you got to ride the wave, as they say.
Yeah. All right, guys, I just want to say thank you for the call, and I hope the Rangers can get another one tomorrow night.
Oh, thanks right, for Mike. Calling in. We appreciate it, Mike.
Are you going to the rally on Sunday?
Probably not, but I wish I could. I'll listen to it over the radio, though.
Okay, by all means, tune in. Make sure you tune in and tell your friends to come join us on Sunday afternoon.
All right, guys. You have a good night.
All right,
take it easy.
Care, bro.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, again, the Fire Say the Rally, Sunday afternoon from 5 to 6, and we will be on the air from 5 to 7. Eddie will be on scene live, and we'll be taking your calls. And it's the only place to hear what's going on down there, so make sure you join us. All right, we got two more calls that have just popped up that are on hold, but I'm going to make a prediction here. You say I'm not optimistic enough, but I've been thinking about this. So, looking at the playoff scenario, okay, at the conference, and I'm going to tell you something. If the Rangers can somehow get into the playoffs and be the seventh seed, Eddie, and face the Devils in the first round, if they can face the Devils in the first round of the playoffs, I think they'll beat the Devils and get to the second round. I really do.
Wow.
You're counting on
the Lundqvist voodoo on Marty. That's what you're counting on?
I think they match up well with the Devils. I think now after a few years they have a goaltending advantage over the Devils. If they can get the Devils in the first round of the playoffs, they'll beat them.
All right.
That being said. Well, hold on.
I want to see what the chat room thinks about that, and you go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. That being said, the Devils, well, maybe the other exception being Ottawa. I think the Devils, maybe Ottawa, are their best chances of getting out of the first round. If they play Pittsburgh or Washington, I don't see them right now. I can't see them getting past five games if they're lucky. But I would like their chances against Ottawa, and I would like their chances against the Devils. Now, let's be practical. They gotta get there first. But
right.
I like the way they match up. But I like the way they match up with the Devils, and I like the way they match up with Ottawa.
You just gave a nugget to all the Ranger fans out there to get all back into the thing that we got a chance. Shame on you.
I'm just telling you how I see it. I like the way they match up with the Devils.
All right, okay.
I think they can play with the Devils, and I think Hank is the better goaltender. We know how he loves to beat Marty, and I just think that if they got the Devils in the first round, I think they could beat them. And Ottawa, I mean, Ottawa's in first place right now in that division by a point. They're neck and neck with Buffalo. But if they saw, Ottawa obviously is the three seed. The Rangers would have to catapult quite a bit to play Ottawa. But would Ottawa scare you as a first round opponent?
The Rangers scare me. I can't even imagine them getting the playoffs. I just did a complete 360. I said, what's going to happen? But now if I got to count on them and start to think that they're going to got to get some wins and maybe they can play the Devils and now all the pressure and then, you know, they lose two in a row and we're back to square one. You got me all confuzzled over here, Jim. I mean, I was about to
you're making up words.
Yeah, really. I mean, listen, what are we doing here? You're getting me all crazy. We could beat the Devils. I mean, listen, they got to get their act together. You got to give me – pretty soon we're going to have to be going down the schedule and saying win, loss. So what's going to happen? And I think we said at the beginning of the program, if there's anything consistent with the Rangers, it's that they're inconsistent. So –
I'm not disputing anything you're saying. I'm not arguing with it. I'm saying, you know, obviously the first point is they got to get there. But I'm saying that if they can get there and if they can get a first round matchup with the Devils, I'm telling you, they're going to the second round.
What does that mean? Wow, we get one playoff series. Then we'll be all like, we can beat Washington. We hung them with them last year without Gabby. Now we got Gabby. And then it'll be a whole torture session with that facing 60 shots a night and have Lundqvist all over the place. And we still get lost. Donald Beshear will jump ship. He'll be waived and then picked up by the Capitals. And then he'll beat up Enver Leeson in the playoffs. And I just see our scenario. I don't want to get teased again. They tease us every year.
Marcy's telling me I'm high. I'm just making a statement. I said if they get there and if they get the seventh seed and if they play the Devils, I think they can beat them. That's all I said. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In the games that they've played against the Devils, do you see a definitive edge? I mean, the Rangers have beat them a couple of times, and I know it's the regular season, but I'm just saying, I like the way they match up with the Devils in a playoff series. That's all. I don't think there's anything. I don't think that constitutes under the influence.
No, you're not under the influence. You're just getting me a little bit, all right. You're putting the thought in my head, and I'm starting to think it out, but you guys were the same guys that had the Devils not even making the playoffs this year, so I don't know if I could take it. I mean, you guys said the Devils were going to be bad and everybody, and I said the Devils are perennial. We do match up well against the Devils because we think that they can't score, and, they can play it, but, I don't know. Don't get me crazy. I don't want to even think about
it. Give me your ifs.
I know, but I'm getting crazy here because I'm now thinking they can actually make it. But they got to get – that team's got to get together. Come on, we got no – Gavrik is still a question mark. He's got to get healthy if you want these – if they make it. Okay, if you're saying if they make it, okay. Is it a good matchup? Yes, that's where I'm ending it.
Okay. Ask me again. We'll see where they're at next week after they play these upcoming tough games. All right, let's take some more calls. We got less than a half an hour to go in this, and we got a Skype caller or an unknown caller on the line. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Emmy Fava. May I speak to Marcy Braverman and Jennifer, please?
Emmy Fava. No.
Alf, what's going on? How you doing, Jim?
No. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Emmy Fava.
No, you can't. You can't speak to any of them. I'm protecting them.
So, Paul, how are you tonight?
Good. I just got in not even a half hour ago. I was out doing some things with the kids, and unfortunately, I missed most of the show. But I wanted to come in and give a quick call. Did I miss anything good so far?
You're
all good, Paul.
Tonight, Paul. I even talked about you and your son and the whole thing. And I guess I want to ask you, Paul. I mean, what we've been asking everybody all night is, what's your feeling? Are you disappointed no moves were made, or are you relieved that there were no moves made?
You know what? I think I'm relieved because I mean, of course, if we could have dumped some of the salary dumps, of course, I would have been all for. But it really looked like there weren't a lot of good fits out there for us. And I know everybody talked about Florida with Booth and Horton, but I don't know. I really, realistically, I just didn't see that getting done. And I'm sort of relieved that really nothing happened. Just, of course, Anders Ericsson coming to the Rangers, and that's just a big one.
A lot of people thought it was Anders Hedberg.
Well, he's a scout for them now, Anders Hedberg. You know that? He's back
right
here with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what'd you say, Eddie, before Lars-Erik Sjöberg?
Sjöberg? You know,
yeah.
It was funny. Paul, I was hanging with Paul on Saturday, and he has a Rangers scrapbook that he kept as a kid that has, I mean, awesome, newspaper clippings from, the 79 Cup run. And it was awesome to read all that stuff again. And it was a great photo of the Rangers after they lost the cup, after they went down in the locker room with their heads down and everything like that. It was and Paul, I want to tell you, this chat room, you're getting a lot of love here. Marcy Braverman throwing the hearts all around to you. See?
Oh, really?
You mentioned. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, you're an internet celebrity, let me tell you.
They think it's Paulie D.
No, now it's been clarified.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I see. It's been clarified. You're right. No, he's getting the love. Sorry.
So,
we're going to be busy tomorrow night. All right.
Oh. Now, I was going to say, Paul, do we know a way up to the 400s? Because, I mean, you found me, so.
Well, actually, right where my seats are, we can go right up the escalator when we come out of 300s. It's like that, I call it the little mezzanine section. So it takes us right up to the
up to the Blues, and we'll pass Dancing Larry. I'm sure you'll stop to say hello to him.
Oh, thank God.
And actually, I have some friends that sit to 4:15 and 4:17, so I guess we can both take a walk up there between one of the periods and say hi to all our friends. But I think you're really going to be busy from what I hear. And I saw a little bit of the chat room before I when I got
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun. And again, I thank you for the – I can't wait. I can't wait to go. I'm having a little rough week here going. Nothing too crazy, but it's definitely going to make it's going to be a lot of fun. And hopefully the Rangers will win. Last time I saw you was that damn Nashville game in the blizzard. So, getting back to the trades, I think Sather tried to make really stupid moves, but they all fell through. So thank God. So that's what we got. Stan Pat, and now have you heard this latest dementia that my partner is going through, thinking that the Rangers have a shot in the first round if they face the Devils? Did you hear this thing
he's
talking about?
I just heard it, and honestly, I think they would have a shot against the Devils.
Oh, boy. Now
but, Eddie, my thing is, and you know I keep the stuff, is just getting into the playoffs, and I just don't know. I really don't know. I mean,
you don't know, or you do know, and you don't want to say it.
No, I just have a bad feeling, and that they're not going to get in. I still feel that way. They've been inconsistent just about the whole year, and really, it's going to come down to who goes on the best run the last like 4 or 5 weeks now, and who starts to, almost distance themselves from everyone else. And I mean, could the Rangers do it? Absolutely, but you know, with Gavrik sort of on shaky ground right now with the leg, you know, I don't know. I mean, has anything else been, brought out today? If it's going to be like a long term or day to day, or
well, he's out tomorrow. No, we haven't heard anything, and he did miss some Olympic time. So, and you know, he wanted to play in those Olympics. So let's hopefully we can get that. I hope it's not a lingering injury because they'll definitely be done. But Jim is just—he's just saying. Listen, he brought it to me that way, and you know what? You know how, like, I kind of counted ourselves out, and now that they've won a couple games without Voros, and I mean without with MDZ and Gavrik, I'm starting to get teased again. You know how we get teased into these
Absolutely.
Things? I feel like we're like a crack addict. You know, we're off the stuff. You know, and we're in detox, and everything is good, and then somebody says, "Hey, come here." And that's what I feel like Jim did to me when he says, well, we match up good against it. If we can get that seventh seed, whereas like a week ago, I was like, they're not even making the playoffs. Let's tank the season. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it seems like, you know, I named my website appropriately, Ranger Crisis, and there always seems to be some kind of crisis. And this is, again, I feel like now for me, and I'll just say this in closing, for me, now that they didn't make any stupid deals to ensure them making the playoffs or give them a chance, I'm okay with that. They didn't sell anybody off. They didn't trade any prospects to make a run at the cup at the playoffs. And so I guess I'm going to dive wholeheartedly into this let's play the Devils thing then, okay? I'm going all the way. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid again. I'm back on the Kool-Aid. You convinced me.
All right, anything else, Paul?
No, listen, guys, I have to run. I'm supposed to be in Brooklyn and Bay Ridge right now at a fundraiser that a friend of mine is involved with. So I got to jump
All
on
right.
and haul down the parkway into Brooklyn. And, Eddie, I will speak to you tomorrow and see you tomorrow. And there may be another small surprise tomorrow, but I won't know till tomorrow morning. So, think
All
about
right.
that. So
okay, thank
we'll
you so much, and we'll see you tomorrow at that garden.
Okay, sounds good, Mal.
Thanks,
Jim,
Paul.
Take care. Have a great night, guys.
Take
great
care,
show again,
friend.
As usual. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
thank
buddy.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, Fast and Furious. We got another unknown caller here. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Yo, what's goody?
I think is this Marcy Braverman?
No, actually... I have a complaint. First, I've been on the phone for about, like, 25 minutes waiting. So is there a way I can get free tickets then for tomorrow's game?
Sure.
Sure. Just call the New York Rangers. Ask for Glenn Sather. Tell him that Blue Shirt Banner Radio told you to tell him to give you two free tickets down low, preferably near the ice.
No, like, really, because I'm going to call him tomorrow. Like, I'm being serious. Like,
I apologize for you holding, but we had a lot of people that held at least as long as you did. We're getting to the phone calls as fast as we can tonight, and I apologize you had to wait, but you're on now, so what did you want to talk about? I don't have free tickets to give you.
Oh, all right. Well, can I request a song?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. What do you want to hear?
Ben Beamer Bentley?
Ben Beamer Bentley?
Yeah.
How's it go?
Okay, all right. I hung up on it. You know what? I mean, it's stupid. I don't know who
here's Marcy.
Another.
Marcy said she's calling in. Marcy Prater.
Here's another weird one. 454, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this? Hello?
I mean, it's absolutely like that. What's that?
All right, we're going to cut him off, too. I don't know what that was. All right, we got another call on the line here. Here's 516. Nope, that's Dave, who never seems to go away from the switchboard. All right, well, that's it. If you want to call in, we got 19 minutes to go, 646-478-4692. I always have that problem with Dave. He calls into the show, and then he hangs up, and then his number always pops back up on the switchboard. Anyway, 646-478.
Jay Dad said that girl who called in was can I get, a free ticket? He said she probably made that call in her Parisi jersey.
Dave, if I hung up, if you were trying to get back through, we've had this problem with you with your phone before. If you were trying to call in again, please do. If I hung up on you erroneously, please call in. I want Marcy to call in. 646-478-4692, Marcy. This is Jim. You have to call in. We've been waiting. Here we go. All right. Now, four more calls on the switchboard. All right.
Bring them on.
Hi, Dave.
What the hell, man?
What the hell, what? Dave, now have we not had problems with your phone before where you've called in and then we've said our goodbyes and you've hung up and your phone has dialed back into the show? Have we not had that problem before, Dave?
Well, we have, but, I mean,
okay.
Come on, that was mean. At least ask if I want to talk.
Well, I didn't. Sorry, Dave. Dave, what's on your mind? Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio again.
Wild.
Again.
We love Dave.
Again.
All right, I actually wanted to talk about the upcoming draft, if anybody wants to get on that topic. Because as much as I am a cap geek, I am a little bit of a draft geek as well.
Well, it's topical. we got 20 minutes left, Dave.
Oh, and the phone's blowing up, so.
Phones are blowing up? All right. Then you know what?
Yeah, I got the switchboard going nuts again.
I wait for him to go, you know what? Screw you, idiot.
shut the hell up.
All right.
Dave, why don't you call in next week and we'll talk about the draft. Just call earlier and we'll talk about the draft. Because I would like to talk about it. We're one of the only websites that, you know, besides Prospect Park, obviously, and a couple of the other ones that do talk about the prospects. So why don't you call in next week and we will talk about the draft.
All right. Sounds good. And to Rangers, dude, I'm not going to call in drunk. I don't, you know, drink and phone call. It's a bad combo, right?
You don't do drunk dialing?
No.
You know what drunk dialing is, right?
Yeah, I do
drunk
know what drunk is, and I learned my lesson to do it anymore.
Yeah, guys, never drunk dial out there.
Eddie still says I hosted the Phoenix show drunk for the Coyote game.
You were a little bit blessed. All right, get to the other phone call. If we're going to change a quality call like Dave, we might as well get somebody good on.
Well, I'm not good? All right, hold on. Let's see. 631-747, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hey, guys, it's Tom. What's going on?
Hey,
Tom,
how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, guys, I just got a quick question. It's a little random question. Where do you guys think this team will be right now if Rennie was still coaching?
Well, you know, Can I just preface by saying my answer on this? I was not a big Rennie guy when he was here. But after what I've seen from Tortorella, I thought at least with Rennie, the players bought into his system and played it. I have not seen that with Tortorella. I feel there's a disconnection with his philosophy and the players buying into it. Whether you have the players or not, the Rangers have some mobile defensemen. He wanted a go-go offense with his defensemen pressuring the puck and bringing it. That's failed. So, and also, I don't like Tortorella saying that Rennie's guys were out of shape and that was amazing. It seems to me Tortorella did a lot better with Rennie's players than Tortorella's done with his own players. So, I got to say, Rennie got his message across, and that's something to be said where I think Tortorella has it. That's my opinion.
Understandable.
Jim?
I think they'd be two games over 500, languishing in the ninth spot in the Eastern Conference.
Really?
We're no different. We're no better, no worse. We're still making the frantic pace, the madcap, hectic, plate spinning Chinese fire drill to the last playoff seed. It's been the same thing for the last 4 years, and I don't think they'd be any much better or any worse.
All right.
That's it. That's the sum of my wisdom on the subject.
What's your opinion on it?
I mean, I don't know. I do like Tortorella. I was a Rennie type of guy. I did like Rennie, I liked how he played more defensive style where, we would get the points going into the shootout, I think we would be maybe a little bit better with Rennie personally, but that's just my opinion.
You're entitled to the opinion. I mean, who's to say it, but I'll go back to it. At least they bought into his system, and maybe John doesn't have the players he needs here to play his system yet. Well, that'll be seen, and it's going to play out over the next couple of years, But it's purely speculation. We got to go with the here and now, and apparently we're going to be in the first round against the Devils, according to my co-host. So
that's right.
I'm all psyched out about that now. Tom, thank you so much for calling down, my friend.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night.
Tom.
All right. Take care.
Have a good one.
All right. Let's continue to move through the phone lines here. We're going to try this again. 454, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this? Hello?
You got anybody in the 732 area code?
Yes, I do.
Pick up. That's Marcy Graven. Get her on the horn here, the blower. The horn, not the blower. Sorry.
732-259, you are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hello?
Is this Marcy Braverman?
Hello. Hi, guys.
Finally, after 5 or 6 weeks of trying to get you to call in, you call in.
I want some free tickets for the game tomorrow.
Well, I told you I already made the announcement what to do. You have to call the Rangers tomorrow morning. You ask for Glenn Sather. You tell him Blue Shirt Banner Radio told you to tell him to give you free tickets, preferably near the ice.
Yeah. Hold on one second.
So, Marcy, give us your – apparently you want to give us your opinion on something. So you have free reign. There's no pressure. It's internet radio. There's eight people listening. No, there's more people listening to that. But go ahead and go full throttle. Let it go. Don't worry about anything.
Can I talk about the rally?
Sure.
Okay. So let me tell you where I'm coming from. I'm 26 years old. I've been in the Garden my entire life. My grandparents were New York American fans. My mom taught my dad the entire sport. My parents cried to their feet when I won the Stanley Cup. Like, this is the family that I come from. And I go to my grandfather's apartment in the Lower East Side. I watch the games with him. And as I'm watching the games, I see the look on his face. And he's 88 years old, and he tries with all his strength to get up out of his chair because he literally cannot sit in front of the TV and watch these games anymore. And I have his face, his his image in my head, and that's why I go to the rallies. That's why I go to the games. That's why I'm doing this with Mike, because I can't watch this anymore. I can't. I hope that we can make a difference. So
I think we can. Like I, you know, you see me, heard me talk about it. Yeah, I don't know if we can make a difference, but I think we can be. We can kind of echo.
I know nothing's going to happen overnight. I know that. But just, I mean, it just really disappoints me to see what this organization has become.
Right.
And it just, I look at what Greg did and see how they treated Greg. And just as season ticket holders for over 35 years and just see how we're treated, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting.
Well, Marcy, you know the story of what happened with Greg. Someday we'll get on the phone or something, and I'll tell you the story of what's happened with us.
Yeah, I mean,
But I completely forgot what else I wanted to say, but go ahead.
Well, I think we'll do Marcy's family justice by going out there and echoing the feelings of your grandfather and by showing our disenchantment with the arrogance.
Do you know he's turning 89 this year? He never leaves the house. He's coming to the rally.
Wow!
This man, he's being escorted to the rally because this is how much he loves this team.
And see, and that's what I think is so great about this rally, is that it's going to be a group of Ranger fans, and hopefully it's in the hundreds, thousands, whatever, coming together and saying, you know what, it's 10 years, we're not as stupid as you think we are, and we've had enough. And I think that's what it's about, and I think that's what makes it great. And Marcy, I sincerely hope that you get a fantastic turnout. I'm looking forward to just being, listening to it here on the radio and broadcasting it, and I think you guys are going to have a lot of fun. I think we're going to have a lot of fun, and I think it's gonna be great.
I really hope so. I really do.
Now, Marcy, you know, I've got to know you through the chat room and through the Facebook and stuff like that. And you, no, I'm not. But I have to say, I really like the fact that you stand up. You're a woman of your convictions, and you're one of the few people that has stood up for John Tortorella in a big way. And maybe
I love John Tortorella.
What do you like about John?
I like Tom Rennie as well. I just thought that towards the end he just wasn't a good fit for the team. I think he's a fantastic coach, but you know, they weren't doing well with the style of play that the Rangers had. They weren't scoring any goals. They weren't winning any games. You can't play a defense-minded game the entire time. It wasn't working for them, clearly. So, but John Tortorella, it's like John Tortorella just screams New York City to me. He's passionate. He has heart. You see the emotion in his face. It's like, just, you score. Just charge the net and you score. And it's completely offense-oriented, and I just love that. But he doesn't have the roster to work with, and everyone shits on him all the time. And it's like, what do you want him to do? If you could give John Tortorella one piece of advice to help this team do well, what would it be? And you can't. You cannot think of one single thing to tell this man because he doesn't have the goods. He does not have what he needs to succeed.
I mean, you know, I alluded to that earlier.
Give me a consistent line. Give me one line. Scoring line that can score on a consistent basis. You can't. And there's not a single person that could sit behind that bench that could create that. Not one person that is alive today that could do that. So you can't sit here and blame the coach. Have I agreed with everything that he's done? Absolutely not. But to sit here and blame the demise of this team on John Tortorella is absurd.
Okay. Well, I agree. Now, where do you stand now? You've talked about this in the chat room about the Tortorella Michael Delzato incident. I know you're a firecracker on this issue. What's your take on that?
I think he opened up his mouth when he shouldn't have opened up his mouth, and he's a rookie, and he should have kept his mouth shut, and he deserved to be benched. He deserved to sit on the end of the bench.
Did he deserve to be yelled at and screamed at? I mean, do you think that was appropriate?
Well, I mean, yes, I do. You fucked up. Oh, sorry, sorry.
Don't worry. Don't worry. Like, go ahead. Go ahead.
yes, I do. I do. And
another
like you also.
All the fine.
You also have to take. You also have to take into consideration. Oh yes, guys, it's my dog in the background. I'm sorry.
right.
Everyone's asking about my dog. yeah, and just also you just have to take into consideration just what kind of guy Tortorella is. That's just who he is, and if you mess up, you're gonna face the consequences. And I respect that coach. I do.
Okay.
I like him. I really, really like him, and I know a lot of people don't, and a lot of people think that he's ruining
the team.
No,
listen, everybody. Is you know, everybody's got a voice, and listen,
but tell me, what could he do? What would you do if you were John Tortorella?
What would I do?
All
right, I'll tell you what I would do, and I'm going to be straight up with you. We're going to talk. We're going to go mano female ano, because it's not mano a mano here. But I'd roll with the same lines. I think he changes the lines too much. That's first thing I would do. If I was John Tortorella,
I'd keep
you have. You're right. He doesn't have the horses to play his style.
He is missing. It's a joke. He has a team comprised of second and third liners who can't score. They cannot score because they physically cannot score. It's not because they have a bad coach. It's because they just can't do it.
Right. But that would be my first thing. And I would have given Henrik rest.
I agree.
I think. But I just think if you put it in context, 1 year is too, for any coach, is you cannot gauge a guy who's come in here with predominantly, you know, they brought in some guys, but his coaching method has to be developed in the minors. It's being taught, and it takes a while to get everything, ducks in a row, so to speak. And after 1 year, I can't kill the guy. I just question, and that's what we do as Ranger fans. We question,
Here's my point. Is it John Tortorella's fault that you have Wade Redden and Donald freaking Brashear on their roster? I mean, really? Really? And Christopher Higgins?
Hold on, Marcy. Wade Redden, I'll give you Wade Redden. Donald Brashear, Tortorella wanted him.
I knew you were going to say that. Okay. But that's my thing. I never knew how much of a role.
I'll give you Redden. I'll give you Roosevelt. I'll give you the whole bucket full of underachievers. But Brashear, he had a big hand in that one.
But why is it? Okay, you're going to blame this on the coach, though. Why is it that everyone just seems to be doing so much better on the teams they were on before? And then they come to the Rangers, and everyone just turns to crap. You're going to blame that on Tortorella. But, I don't remember Brashear being as bad on the Capitals. I don't know. Is that coaching? I don't know.
No, I mean, like I said, you make a good point. And, I don't think it's everything. I think what you are a proponent of, and what I've seen from you, is you want the players to be more accountable on the team rather than everybody just point the finger at the coach. Is that correct?
To an extent, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, he's – yeah.
But I think you make a good point. But, the thing – again, I'm going to play New Jersey Devil's Advocate here with you. For instance, with Wade Redden, right? He made an example of him for a couple games. Why isn't Wade Redden just buried in the minors or just sitting games out? He's obviously a detriment to the team when he's on the ice. I mean, you see Marcy, you go to the games, he's terrible. So, I just think you make a good point. I think Tortorella, I was the first guy who, I loved Tortorella. I got sick and tired of Rennie because he was too soft. He was the player's coach. And now I'm thinking, man, maybe I should have went with him. But I wanted a fiery guy. I like a fiery guy in there.
But that's my other point. I mean, how many coaches are we going to go through to finally sit back and be like, okay, what's really the problem here?
Right.
You
what do you think is the problem? I pose that question to you, Marcy Braverman. What is the problem?
In 30 seconds or less, because we're almost wrapped up.
Glenn Sather, I think, is the problem. I think Jim Dolan's the problem. I think the management's the problem. I think, yeah, I think upstairs, that's where it begins.
All right. The great Marcy Braverman, ladies and gentlemen. Give us some applause, Jimmy.
We could do that, of course. All right, we got less than a minute to go. Again, we are going to be on 5 o'clock Sunday afternoon for the Fire Say the Rally. Eddie will be there live. Marcy Braverman will be there live. Mike Zippo and hopefully a cast of thousands. Make sure you, if you're not going, make sure you're tuned in so we'll keep you up on everything that's going on. And Eddie, another good solid show. It's been a pleasure. We made it through 3 hours.
Wow,
and
looking forward to
you got it in the tank, brother. All right, have fun at the game tomorrow night. Say hello to everybody for me, and we will catch you guys Sunday afternoon. All right, my friend, we are off the air.
Beautiful.
And you are typing away.
Well, I'm dead. I'm all talked out.
Yeah, I got to go eat my
dinner.
But
a great call today, and over 300 listeners, you said?
Last count was right around 200. So, best show we've ever had, live.
Nice. Nice. Awesome. All right. Man, dog,
right,
take care. I love you. I kiss you. Hugs, kisses, and whatever. And, Jim, I'll talk to you tomorrow before I go to the game, maybe, or text you, or whatever I do.
All right. Sounds good.
Take care.
You too. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.